The Shaman Charms the Shifter, a Nocturne Falls Universe story. Written by Larissa Emerald. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Dear reader, Nocturne Falls has become a magical place for so many people, myself included. Over and over I've heard from you that it's a town you'd love to visit and even live in. I can tell you that writing the books is just as much fun for me. With your enthusiasm for the series in mind, and your many requests for more books, the Nocturne Falls universe was born. It's a project near and dear to my heart, and one I am very excited about. I hope these new, guest-authored books will entertain and delight you. And best of all, I hope they allow you to discover some great new authors. And if you like this book, be sure to check out the rest of the Nocturne Falls Universe offerings. For more information about the Nocturne Falls Universe, visit kristenpainter.com/sugar-skull-books. In the meantime, happy reading. Kristen Painter. Dedication. For my granddaughter, Bailey, who stands strong in her fight against leukemia, our faith is unending. Chapter 1. Kianso Okakane glanced at Seth in the stylist's mirror as the archangel strolled through the entrance and into the salon's waiting area. He tucked his wings tight against his back and out of sight from human eyes. Otherwise, he probably would have knocked over the nearby product display case.
"How's it, bro?"
Kianso said. Seth halted and leaned one shoulder against the wall with his arms crossed over his chest.
"Hey, Favo. You want to find some action this weekend? I'm heading to Nocturne Falls. Want to come with?"
"Trim over the ears a bit shorter, please," he said to the stylist, then moved his gaze to Seth.
The Archangel had nicknamed him after the Hawaii Five-O TV show. Hearing it always made him smile. There were worse things to be associated with.
"Well?" Seth asked, his lack of patience getting the best of him. "I know it's not far, but I've never been to Nocturne Falls," Kianso said. "What's it like?"
The stylist piped up, her Georgia accent just as sweet as it could be.
"It's super awesome. My man and I went a few months ago. The town celebrates Halloween all year long, and the townspeople dress up every day. Vampires, werewolves, and other paranormal creatures roam the streets. You should go. It's fun."
"I can't believe you've never been, man. It's like an hour and a half from Tyler."
Kianso shrugged.
"I'm happy being a small-town lawyer. I have no desire to gallivant around."
It was true. He was like a general practitioner. His practice handled estate planning, tax law, family law, personal injury, and bankruptcy, just to name a few. He did everything except criminal law. In Georgia, 70% of the lawyers worked out of Atlanta. But he had not wanted to run that big city rat race. The desire for a more laid-back lifestyle was the one thing he took with him when he left Hawaii. Tyler, Georgia, gave him that. Life was good, even if a little lonely at times.
"Come on, it's the weekend," Seth pressed. "Let's go chill for a while. Ven and his bride have returned from France, and the Divine Tree is back under his protection. I'm finally free. And I'm ready to let loose a little before the next guardian calls me with some dire dilemma."
He rolled his eyes.
"You should get that mop of yours trimmed, old man," Kianso said, evading the question at hand.
He eyed Seth's head of dreads. The Archangel reminded him more of Jack Sparrow in that pirate movie than an angelic being. Not that he understood such things. But his shaman side knew there were paranormal creatures in this world. That's probably why his best friend was the shape-shifting Divine Tree Guardian, Ven Hurst. Yep, there were unexplainable creatures in this world, like the ones who protected special trees against evil and demons, and, well, and more things he didn't want to think about. The stylist brushed the loose hair from around his neck and then removed the drape. Kianso slipped his glasses into place. He stood and reached into his pocket to grab the bills he already had ready.
"Thanks," he said, passing the tip to the petite woman. "Looks great. See you in a couple of weeks." Given his Hawaiian heritage, his hair grew thick, and it required frequent trimming to maintain the business look he liked. As he headed for the door, Seth fell into step beside him. They exited onto the street.
"Well?" Seth asked again.
Kianso kept walking. It was Columbus Day weekend. He didn't have to meet with clients until Tuesday afternoon. But did he really want to visit a town that celebrated Halloween 365 days a year? Hell yeah! He couldn't believe he hadn't been to the spooky town already. From the other side of the street, a bird flew across his path. A red-tailed hawk. He stepped sideways as it zoomed past. Kianso stopped short. As a spirit animal, the hawk was powerful and unrelenting, presenting messages of courage, wisdom, and illumination from the universe, prodding him to see the bigger pictures of truth and experience, the wise use of opportunities, magic and focus, and how to overcome problems. He felt the light press of a hand on his shoulder. It seemed to give him a slight shove towards Seth. It was his sister, Jen. The strong essence of her spirit floated all around him. She had died in a mudslide 8 years ago, along with their parents. And even though he missed his Makuahine and Makuakane, it was his sister's death that had shattered him, causing him to leave the island. Out of nowhere, the scent of Play-Doh intertwined in his memory as he recalled growing up with his sister. They'd spent hours sculpting animals out of the colorful modeling clay. Creating things with her hands was her favorite pastime. She was an artist. He was the practical one. And even with the pain of losing her, he was glad they had their time together. She'd had a hand in shaping him into the man he was today. She still did. After her death, he'd abandoned his shaman training and fled. And now, her spirit urged him as if she were right there with him. Why couldn't she just let him be? He peered at the archangel.
"She's here, isn't she?" he inquired, wanting confirmation.
Seth's only response was a half-smile and a lift of his brow. Kianso pressed his lips together and then allowed his cheeks to billow slightly as he exhaled. She was telling him it was time he embraced his shamanic heritage. Practically no one knew about that side of him, but he suspected that Seth knew. Even though Kianso had never come out and told the archangel, Seth knew. It was there in his shrewd glance. Kianso rolled his shoulders and stretched his neck. He could use a vacation.
"Nah, I should stay at home and work on my knitting."
Seth smiled at Kianzo's mischievous glance.
"Excellent," the archangel said. "I'll pick up a few things from my place, and then the weekend is ours."
For some reason, the decision to get away didn't excite him as much as it should have. Kianzo's brows bunched as a wave of apprehension washed over him. If he took the time to tune in to his shamanic instincts, he might be able to foresee what lay ahead in Nocturne Falls. But no, that wasn't who he was now. He turned away from magic years ago. He'd left that part of himself back in Hawaii. It had failed him then, and it would fail him now. He no longer trusted what he couldn't see and touch. So with a firm sense of control over his future, he resisted the tug to heed his shamanic voice, struggling against the feeling of expectation and urgency. Both men slid into his royal blue Mustang convertible, and he drove away from the quaint shops of downtown Tyler. When he got to his apartment building, which sat on the edge of a private golf course, he cut the car's engine.
"You want to come up?"
he asked as he got out. Seth locked his hands behind his head and leaned back.
"Nah, thanks. I'll just soak up some sun while you're gone. You never know when the first cold snap will appear. Better enjoy it while I can."
"Huh. You won't be here by then anyway."
Kianso dashed into the lobby before Seth could respond and took the elevator up to the fourth floor. He unbuttoned his dress shirt at the neck and removed his tie. He peered out a large paned window as he made his way from the living room into the bedroom. Outside, a hawk soared in a flight pattern above the trees, his spirit animal guide. He'd seen it various times in his life since his sister's passing.
"No,
He tightened his jaw and spun away from the window. Flipping through his closet, he tossed jeans and a couple of shirts into a satchel. He didn't imagine Nocturne Falls was much different from Tyler, so he didn't think he'd need anything special to wear. Most Georgia towns looked the same, all having a similar southern charm. Several minutes later, he landed back in the driver's seat and fired up his GPS. "Directions to Nocturne Falls," he said aloud. As he drove away, he thought he heard the hawk squawk its approval. In the yard behind Creepy Critter Pets, Sasha perched on a sturdy branch overlooking the patio. Living in the body of a bird sucked. Big time. She was a gorgeous green Quaker parrot. Her face, neck, and chest were pale gray, her back and tail feathers gleamed a green to yellow, and her wing feathers contrasted in blue. But still, a bird. For crying out loud, she ate birds when in her shapeshifter cat form. Now, all because a witch got her britches twisted, she was wearing feathers almost full time. Sheesh. She inhaled a calming breath. She had faith that she would find a way out of the curse Lily Reese had put on her. Just stay positive and the answer will come. Above her, a flock of cardinals battled three ravens, trying to outdo one another in song. The noise made Sasha grin. Even though she couldn't actually credit the ravens as singing, their voices sounded more like squawks, they were so filled with life and vigor as their voices carried on the cool October breeze. She wished she felt such abandon. Caroline Linzer, a longtime friend and the pet store owner, strolled out carrying a fragrant cup of coffee and settled in a chair at the patio table. A hint of envy twisted in Sasha. How she'd love a cup of Joe right now. Caroline glanced up into the trees and squinted through heavy-lidded eyes, then lifted her coffee cup to her lips and drank. Her friend murmured a pleased sound. It was her usual late-afternoon cup of Joe to help her get through that sleepy time of day. Sasha wasn't tired, though. In a few minutes, she'd change into her human self. Then, the next 3 hours were the highlight of her day. "Thank goodness for caffeine," Caroline mumbled.
"Cece, Cece, Cece,"
Sasha sing-songed. It was the nickname she'd learned from Camille, Caroline's friend who had moved to Minnesota earlier this year. Sasha had picked it up during a phone call that Caroline had put on the speaker. "What, are you trying to outdo the other feathers up there?" Caroline asked, angling her chin toward the other birds.
"Don't insult me,"
Sasha said in a scrappy bird voice, and then dipped her beak into the down beneath one wing and scratched.
"I don't give a whit,"
Caroline sighed. "Sorry, Sasha. Being caught in a spell must be rough, and I understand happens more often than people think. A witch, warlock, or sorcerer has a disagreement with someone, and bam! In their anger and frustration, a spell is cast."
"I know, I know. I just need to up my search for a remedy. There are more supernaturals in Nocturne Falls than anywhere else. Surely one of the residents knows how to undo it and return me to my feline shapeshifter self."
Thankfully, she was able to articulate as her human self. However, her speech came out in a birdy voice that really exhausted her patience. She tired of hearing it. Caroline had been a tremendous help, taking her in, helping her discover the food she needed, being her friend. At the moment, her life was in limbo. She'd left Montgomery and given up her job as a recreation supervisor for the city. She hadn't had much choice, really. It was pretty hard to work in bird form, especially when she was stuck like this 21 hours of every day. In the shop, the mantel clock chimed 5 p.m. Yes! The change began. Her wings shifted into arms and hands, and she dropped to the floor on legs and feet that absorbed the landing on hard ground. It felt wonderful. She stretched. It was time for Caroline to lock up. She closed the store at the same time during the week, with short hours on Saturday, finishing at 4, and Sundays, when the store didn't open at all. In a town like Nocturne Falls, people liked to dine and drink and play when the sun went down,
not shop for pets. When Caroline finished closing the store, she ambled out back again. Sasha sat at the table in her human form, draining the last sip of coffee from Caroline's cup.
"Sorry," Sasha said impishly. "It's been a long day."
She walked the cup past Caroline into the store and into the kitchen area, where she proceeded to wash it. Caroline joined her.
"Let's go. I have a limited time before I change back into that infernal bird. I plan to make the most of every second. If you don't mind, can we visit Misty's boutique? There was a cute outfit in the window."
She licked the final taste of coffee from her lips.
"Flying around makes for terrific window shopping."
Caroline chuckled softly. "Fine with me. Lead the way." Without hesitation, Sasha did just that, only pausing to let Caroline lock the door behind them. Sasha's steps quickened. There wasn't a minute to waste. It was extremely frustrating to be trapped for most of the day, only allowed to assume her human form for 3 hours each day, and not being permitted to enjoy her snow leopard form at all. Sasha lengthened her stride, allowing her legs to stretch, enjoying the tug and pull of her muscles as she strolled down the lane. A bird's legs didn't have the same feel. The difference in anatomy wasn't something she would have contemplated before, but now, well, she was experiencing the contrasts up close and personal. So when she transformed into her human form for those few hours, it was heaven. It took them around 15 minutes to walk to Misty's boutique. The outfit she'd admired this afternoon was on the mannequin in the display window. The window dressing fit the Halloween theme of the town, with a time-worn haunted house motif, featuring a lot of spider webs, a huge birdcage suspended from the ceiling, and a few wispy ghosts flying in the background. Sasha pointed to the mannequin on the right, seated in a chair.
"That coral halter top, isn't it adorable?"
"Yep, very cute." Entering the store, they headed to the clothes racks. Sasha tried on the outfit from the window, plus several more. Her heart felt lighter minute by minute as she twisted and turned in front of the mirror along with Caroline. As she paid for her purchases, she checked her phone for the time.
OMG, we've spent nearly an hour playing around here.
The breeze fluttered across her cheeks as she stepped outside. She brushed her hair behind one ear.
"I feel like fish for dinner tonight," she said, glancing sideways at Caroline. "Do you think Mummy's Diner has that?"
"They should. Maybe tilapia or something, if that's what you're after." The snow leopard shifter in Sasha was partial to fish. She swept her tongue along her lips. All she'd had today were a handful of seeds and a couple of berries. A delicious seafood dinner was just what she needed. Her stomach growled at the thought. Caroline grinned. "Oh my, you are hungry, aren't you?" Sasha picked up her pace. Her precious time would go by in a blink. She had been in Nocturne Falls for 5 days now and had determined that, even though it was a small, quaint town, there were a lot of places she'd like to visit. The winery, Delaney's Delectables, the Illusions Jewelry Store, to name a few. But with her time limitations, she'd had very little time to check out the town in human form. And moving forward, all her efforts needed to be focused on connecting with the witches of Nocturne Falls. So far she'd learned that Alice Bishop was the most powerful witch, although there seemed to be many reasons why people wouldn't want to approach her. Corette Williams was also a very powerful witch and owned the ever-after bridal boutique in town. She had 3 daughters, Pandora, a local real estate agent, Charisma, who was a professional life coach, and Marigold, who owned a flower shop. Surely one of them would know how to reverse this confounded spell. When they reached the entrance to Mummy's Diner, Caroline held the door open for her. Sasha's eyes adjusted quickly to the dim lighting as she entered, her cat instincts taking over. The sign at the entrance advised, "Seat yourself." So she headed for the vacant booth in the back, where it was quiet and secluded. Sasha checked her watch. Fixating on the time was becoming a bad habit. She sighed. The waitress came over with a smile.
"Hi, can I get you something to drink?"
"No, thank you,"
Sasha replied.
"I'm mainly interested in food."
As if on cue, her stomach rumbled again. The waitress raised a brow.
Okay, we can handle that. Caroline? Sasha asked, finding her manners. I'm just going to glance at the menu, she said. You go ahead. I like seafood. Any recommendations? Sasha asked.
We have a fish and chip special,
the waitress told her. Perfect. Caroline set her menu on the table. I'll have the same, actually, and just some water, please.
Excellent,
the waitress said, picking up the menus.
Two fish and chip specials coming right up.
As the woman walked away, all Sasha could think was hurry.
Chapter 2
It was almost 7 by the time Kianso pulled into Nocturne Falls. The sun had set, and the automatic street lighting came on as he progressed. He drove down Main Street, noting the orange and purple Halloween motif and the jack-o'-lanterns that graced many of the business doorsteps and windows.
They are really serious about this town's themed moneymaker, he said.
Hey, Mummy's Diner is up on the right, Seth said, ignoring Kianso's comment. Pull in there and we'll grab a bite before we go to the condo. I'll restock the fridge tomorrow.
Kianso did as instructed and parked the car.
How often do you come here?
He asked when he joined Seth on the sidewalk. He looked at the Archangel, noticing that he didn't fold in his wings the way he usually did. Instead, he let them drape free in all their glory, the shimmery feathers reflecting the twinkling lights along the sidewalk.
Mummies or Nocturne Falls? Seth asked.
The latter.
Not often enough. I purchased a condo in the Excelsior right after it was built. Figured it was a good investment, and close to Tyler, and my duties there. But I've only used it a handful of times.
Hopefully I can visit more this year.
But the hesitation in your voice says you don't expect to.
Seth shrugged his massive shoulders, causing his wings to move with the motion. There's a lot of ruthless evil and destruction going on right now, so I won't hold my breath.
Kianso wondered if angels actually breathed. He'd never really paid attention.
Come on, Seth nudged. They're better than sex pie is divine.
Huh, Kianso grunted.
Guess you have privileged info on that. I mean, you hang out in heaven, right? Can pie be better than that?
Maybe one day I'll give you a glimpse.
I'm in no hurry.
Inside, Seth guided them toward the only empty table left in the place. Thankfully, there was enough space to accommodate his wings. A waiter appeared, barely giving them a chance to glance at the menu in his enthusiasm. Kianso wondered if he was new at the job. He and Seth both ordered zombie burgers. Big, bad burgers. Kianso swept his gaze around the room. There seemed to be a balanced mix of supernatural beings and humans. A troll couple was sitting in the corner booth. A foursome of vampires was at another table. A pair of human women were giggling at a nearby table, and then another set of women were at the booth next to Seth and Kianso. As he watched the two women nearest to them, the one on the far side of the booth peered across the space at him. Her eyes latched onto him and held. In that moment, he couldn't look away. Did he know her? A flutter winged through his gut, and as he continued to look at her, her smile grew. She had intense, deep blue eyes that didn't blink or waver. Her white blonde hair barely touched her shoulders. She looked stunning in tan pants and a leopard print top. Who was she? What sort of creature?
A beautiful one, his mind answered.
She was sitting up straight in her seat, her slender neck and head angled toward him. She wore it swept to the side so he could see her brow pinch slightly. Before she glanced down and the curtain of hair fell and hid her face.
Look up, he thought. Look at me.
She did, tucking a lock of hair behind one ear with her delicate fingers. The vibe she was emitting reached out and touched him, curled around him. His energy crashed into hers, and they circled in the space between them. Heat swept through him, settling in his groin. As she looked at him from beneath long lashes. He had to learn who she was. Seth turned his head and followed Kianso's gaze.
She's striking, the Archangel said.
Yes, and there's something going on with her. I can't quite put my finger on it, Kianso admitted. I just feel her tension.
At that moment, she glanced at her watch, and an anxious expression flitted over her features. She rose quickly, dropped her napkin onto her plate, and dashed past him, practically running out of the diner. Before Kianso realized what he was doing, he was following her. But when he got to the door and scanned the walk, she wasn't anywhere in sight.
Where did she go?
He blinked and peered left, then right.
Strange.
The crowd on the street was too light to get lost in. Did she possess magical powers where she could simply disappear? Frustrated and disappointed, he went back inside Mummy's, where a woman with a riot of red hair stood beside the table, speaking to Seth. The Archangel made introductions. Kianso, this is Pandora Williams, the top real estate agent in Nocturne Falls. She gave me the heads up when the Excelsior condos were being built.
Pleasure to meet you, Kianso said, offering his hand.
Her green eyes flashed with enthusiasm.
Likewise. Welcome to Nocturne Falls. What do you think of our little town so far?
It's very unusual, he said. I've only just arrived, so I'm looking forward to the tour tomorrow.
She paused, seeming to assess him with those shrewd emerald eyes. I'm sure Seth knows all the best places to show you. She looked at Seth. Don't you, darling? Seth grinned.
Absolutely.
And they have some of the best food anywhere. Kianso chuckled softly.
Leave it to him to know where the finest crepe, sushi, or steak is being served.
Then he let his gaze slide past Pandora to the table where his mystery woman had been sitting. Her dining companion was still there.
Pandora, who is that woman?
He asked. Since she seemed to have a finger on the pulse of the town, he figured Pandora may know her. Pandora twisted around to eye the woman.
Oh, that's Caroline Linzer. She owns Creepy Critter Pets.
His heart began to race. If Pandora knew Caroline, maybe she also knew his mystery woman.
Did you happen to see the blonde woman who was with her? He asked. She just left.
She frowned. No, I'm afraid not. Why?
Just wondering. She looked familiar, he said,
which was true. He simply couldn't recall where he'd seen her before. Pandora stepped backward, giving him the once-over, and then leaned in closer.
You're not a normie, are you? She whispered. You're a supernatural.
Not really, he answered. Back home in Hawaii, I was a shamanic warrior. But that was a lifetime ago. I've given that up.
Have you now?
She raised an eyebrow. Once a witch doctor, always a witch doctor, I always say. Seth hooted.
You tell him, Pandy.
Kianso straightened and cleared his throat.
Shamans are not witch doctors.
Pandora moved in the direction of the door. As she traveled by him, she patted his shoulder.
If you say so.
She glanced at Seth and gave a wave. See you boys around. Kianso watched her exit and then slid into his chair. Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed Carolyn Linzer scurrying after Pandora and catching the witch's attention on the sidewalk outside. The waiter delivered their food, and Kianso murmured his thanks. When he glanced out the front window again, the women were gone. Seth smacked his lips.
I'm starving.
You're always starving.
Food is one of the simplest pleasures life has to offer.
He lifted the thick, good old-fashioned hamburger from his plate and sunk his teeth into it with a throaty moan. Kianso paused, admiring the work of art, the plump, pub-style burger with lettuce and tomato and red onions. He took a bite and then dabbed the napkin at his chin as the juices of the burger ran over his stubble. As he ate, he had to admit that the food at Mummy's Diner really was terrific.
If you like Italian, we can eat at Guillermo's tomorrow, Seth said.
Sounds good to me. This is delicious.
He ate another bite.
Although I'm happy to eat Italian food 7 days a week, too.
An Italian-loving Hawaiian. Learn something new every day.
Seth lifted a shoulder, and wing with it, and then let it fall back into place. The waitress slid two slices of better-than-sex pie onto the table.
Seth raised his fork and waggled his brows in an exaggerated show of anticipation. A forkful of the creamy, chocolatey dessert disappeared into his friend's mouth, and he closed his eyes as a satisfied expression washed over his face. He pointed his fork at Kianzo. "Try it." He did. The pie tasted delicious. Even so, his gaze drifted to the next table. There was just something about her he couldn't ignore. The next thing Kianzo knew, his fork was scraping an empty plate. And while the first bites had been fabulous, he couldn't say he'd noticed the rest. He was too fixated on his thoughts of the girl with the white blonde hair, which seemed odd since, one, he didn't usually go for blondes, and two, he wasn't looking for a woman to complete him, and all that romantic gibberish. Chapter 3. Sasha only had to fly a short distance to find a place to land. She was breathing hard, and her heart beat wildly against her ribs, not due to exertion, but because of the way the gorgeous stranger's look had made her feel, like he desired her. And for those few crazy moments before she'd had to flee, she'd known an all-consuming need to meet him. How could the sensations of belonging and desire be so intense in such a short time? Once again, this blasted curse had interfered in her life. Ugh, ruins and rain. She couldn't take this much longer. Letting go of her immense disappointment, she scanned the area to get her bearings. Her claws tried to grip a substance as hard as rock. She glanced down. Actually, it was rock. She perched on the shoulder of the massive stone gargoyle that adorned the fountain in the center of town. From the direction of mummies, Caroline approached, carrying their shopping bags and talking to a woman with a riot of red hair. They paused a few feet away. She strained to overhear the conversation between them and learned Caroline was speaking to Pandora, one of the town's witches she sought to interview.
"Pandora, so you see, my friend is looking for someone, another witch, who might be able to undo the spell put on her in the midst of a quarrel."
If Sasha had hands, she would have clapped. Caroline was pleading her case to Pandora Williams, one of the witches in town she'd told her about. Excitement whirled in her chest. Suddenly the world began to move, as did the stone beneath her claws. She shifted her weight, but she couldn't find purchase in the stone.
"Get off me,"
a hard voice grumbled. Sasha felt as if she was on a roller coaster until she flapped her wings and then resettled. Water splashed about, and then a large stone hand swatted in her direction.
"Off, I say."
Whoa! The gargoyles were real creatures, she realized, not merely fixtures. Another spray of water droplets fell through the air, and Sasha flew to the fountain's edge. Pandora and Caroline both turned their heads and stared at her. "There she is," Caroline said, brushing wetness from her arm. "Sasha, this is Pandora Williams. She's the witch I told you about."
"Hello,"
she squawked. "She doesn't like talking much in bird form," Caroline explained. Pandora frowned. "Well, fiddlesticks. Then I don't see how I can help you, darling." She turned to leave.
"Wait," Sasha said. "For 3 hours every evening I'm human again. Maybe we could meet you during that time tomorrow. Between 5 to 8 in the evening. That's when I'm my normal self."
Pandora glanced at Sasha and then back at Caroline. "That's a difficult time. And tomorrow's Saturday. My family always gathers for dinner, and then we have a party to attend." "The engagement bash Nick is throwing Van and Lisa?" Caroline asked. "Yes. Are you attending?" "I am. Sasha, too. Granted, the timing works out in her favor. Perhaps we can talk a little more then." Pandora nodded. "In the meantime, I'll confer with my mother and sisters. Maybe they've had some experience with spells of wrath." She withdrew a business card from the side of her purse and offered it to Caroline. "Perfect." She accepted the card.
"Thank you,"
Sasha chirped, gratitude swelling in her chest. "You're welcome. See you then." As she passed the fountain, Pandora said, "Nick, you may want to go below and dry off."
A few drops of water never hurt anyone, the gargoyle muttered and struck a different pose.
Sasha was awestruck. She learned something new about Nocturne Falls every day, and it was always something as remarkable as it was strange.
It was after 10 that evening when they arrived at Seth's condo.
Just pull up front, Seth told Kianzo. The valet will park the car.
Seriously?
Kianzo said, surprised at how nice the place was. He craned his neck and looked up at the 5-story building as he got out of his Mustang and grabbed his bag out of the trunk. It wasn't the fanciest or largest place he'd ever been, of course. The big cities with their high-rises would surpass it in a minute. But for a small Georgia town, the Excelsior was pretty swanky. All clean lines, accent lights, and modern touches. He recalled what Seth had said about buying the place as an investment. How many such investments did the Archangel have? They entered a small lobby, and a man at a bell desk waved at Seth.
Good to see you, sir, he said.
Same here,
Seth replied, as he led the way to the elevator on the left. Kianzo guessed the right one was exclusive to the penthouse, as it was in many luxury buildings like this one. While they waited for their ride up, he noted a fitness room and pool set back behind a classy glass entry off to the right. Too bad he didn't come prepared to use either. They stepped on the elevator and took it to the 4th floor. When they exited, Kianzo immediately discerned a distinct division in occupancy. The space seemed to be divided into 2 condos, both quite spacious, judging from the size of the building.
I'm to the right, Seth indicated with a flick of his hand. I like this place because of its security. Since I only come here once in a while, it was perfect. And as I mentioned, close to Tyler.
It's really nice, Kianzo remarked.
Seth smirked.
I think so.
He punched in the code of an electronic combination lock beside the door to his condo and entered. Kianzo hung back as the Archangel pushed a button on the wall, engaging window shades that lifted to the ceiling. The lights of Nocturne Falls danced below. The place was decked out in an eclectic mix of sleek, modern style and old-world charm. The masculine combination of leather and glass fit Seth well, too.
Make yourself at home, he instructed. The guest room is down the hall to the left.
He pointed to the corridor he meant.
Thanks, Kianzo said. I think I'm going to turn in. Dessert put me over the top.
It was good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
His belly was full to bursting, especially after feasting on the better-than-sex pie the Archangel had insisted Kianzo try. Catchy name, and damned good. But better than sex? Well, not in his life, even though it had been a very, very long time since he'd had anyone in his bed. After they got settled, Seth went back out. Obviously, the Archangel didn't require the sleep Kianzo did. He dropped into bed, closed his eyes, and was out. But in his sleep, he felt his feet moving, walking along a path of some kind. The earth pushed hard against his feet as a mist swirled around him. In some spots, a cool breeze brushed his face. In others, hot, moist air pressed down on him. The path wound through a deep forest, and he followed. When he approached a bend in the path, he saw an eagle perched on a dead tree stump.
"When are you coming home?" the eagle asked, staring straight into his eyes.
Kianzo straightened. Part of him tamped down his shamanic voice, while the other part listened. An eagle spirit animal indicated it was time to look inward with a careful eye and to allow the heart to be one's guide. He stared at the eagle and pressed his lips together.
"This is a dream, nothing more."
So he strolled on. The trees seemed even taller, even grander, in the next stretch of the forest. He came to another sharp curve in the path, where a coyote stood tapping one paw, stirring up dirt.
"When are you coming home?"
the animal asked. The coyote was often a trickster. It could be a warning not to be tricked by foolish appearances. The spirit of the coyote sometimes reminded a person not to take things too seriously and to find a better balance of wisdom and playfulness in one's life. Kianzo stirred in his bed, flipped to his other side, punched the pillow,
and squeezed his eyes closed tighter, trying to keep the dream out. But it was useless. His feet just kept moving away from the coyote. He passed a small stream as he moved farther along the path. He came to a rickety wooden suspension bridge, the path continuing across it. What was on the other side, he wondered. He glanced behind him, aware of the curious nature of the dream. But then again, it was just a dream, nothing of importance. So he placed one foot in front of the other as he moved along the wooden boards of the bridge. The structure wobbled side to side, but accepted his weight. His heart thudded in his chest. Sliding his hand along the cable that also served as a railing, he slowly progressed, fixing his gaze on the other side. The bridge swayed with every step he took. It should only take a few minutes to cross, no big deal. He wasn't afraid of heights. But the idea that the structure might give way made his pulse speed up. He had to trust that it was sturdy enough. A distinct nervousness built inside his chest. The crossing was something bigger, something he couldn't explain. It was as if he was being drawn to something he'd been avoiding for a very long time. He breathed in the fresh aromas of the forest around him. When he reached the other side of the bridge, he jumped off it. His feet struck solid ground. He paused, inhaling and exhaling.
See? Nothing to worry about.
The path continued, rising to a higher altitude with the terrain. At the third sharp bend in the road, a hawk landed on a low branch.
When are you coming home? It asked.
The question was really getting irritating. What home were they even speaking of? Hawaii? He didn't have anyone left there.
He turned away from the hawk and stayed on the path. After a slow, winding hike up a mountain, he reached a dead end. He peered out over the land below. It wasn't the highest mountain he'd explored, but the view was gorgeous. A roar sounded off to his right, and he turned. A huge bear was lying in a field of yellow flowers, one gigantic paw resting atop the other. Bears represented grounding forces, strength and courage. As a spirit animal in touch with the earth and the cycles of nature, it was a powerful guide to support physical and emotional healing. This animal was both feared and admired for its strength. Kianzo knew what it was going to say before it spoke.
When are you coming home? The bear asked.
Facing the animal, Kianzo opened his heart and looked inside himself. He had shut out his shamanic ways of the past and left them back in Hawaii when he'd buried his sister. He had been living his life just fine without them. However, the journey he'd just taken had been intensely real. He had no doubt there was a message he was meant to respond to within it. But he was not going home. A loud bang jerked him awake. He sat straight up in bed and glanced about. Another sharp clap followed. It sounded like doors closing. The first like the outer door, and the second like Seth's bedroom. The archangel was probably just getting back from his night out. With a sigh, Kianzo dropped back onto the mattress. He turned his head to check the clock on the nightstand. 3 a.m. He groaned, closed his eyes, and leaned back into the pillow. It must be nice not to need sleep.
Chapter 4.
For someone who was in love with food, Seth sure had a bare pantry. He'd said he needed to go shopping, and he wasn't kidding. At least there was coffee and instant creamer, but that was about it, other than canned goods. The archangel strolled into the kitchen. I told you we needed to go to the store.
I'd say so, Kianzo said, setting the almost empty jar of instant creamer on the counter.
Don't even bother, Seth said as he turned back to his room. Throw some clothes on and we'll head out.
He made a face as he took a sip of his coffee. Yuck, no sugar. Minutes later, he met Seth out front, both of them fully dressed.
Normally, I just hoof it around Nocturne Falls, but since we're going to get groceries, we'll take your car.
No problem.
They got the car from the valet and climbed in.
First stop, Seth said,
Coffee.
Real coffee,
Kianzo clarified. Seth gave him directions to Black Cat Boulevard and the Hallowed Bean. They walked into the cafe to find that the place was hopping for a Saturday morning, especially for a town with so many night creature residents. As expected, this hour catered to the human variety. Kianzo ordered coffee and an enormous banana muffin. Seth raved over the joint's cookies and got a dozen. Some for now and some for later, he winked at the cashier. She giggled, then leaned forward, whispering, I love your wings. Thanks, he shot over his shoulder as he turned, heading toward a seat. Kianzo rolled his eyes. What a flirt. A table opened up, and he snatched it. They sat and ate in the sort of silence that allowed the sleep-deprived to truly wake up. The muffin tasted delicious, and the coffee rivaled the best he'd ever had back home. And that was saying a lot, because back in Hawaii, there was this little place that ground and brewed a secret blend. It was what Kianzo measured all coffee against. He inhaled the aroma and downed the last of it while it was still hot. Then he pushed back in his seat and tried to relax. His brain advised him to chill out, that he was here on vacation. But his stomach and chest wouldn't cooperate, and they cramped and tensed. His dream last night niggled at him, always within reach of his awareness, always there to intrude upon his thoughts. Seth picked up a flyer folded in a triangle on the table.
Hey, there's a car show this weekend at the fairgrounds. Want to go?
Kianzo shrugged.
Sure, whatever you want to do.
As soon as Seth finished his sixth cookie, they left to make room for other customers. Kianzo was about to jump into his convertible when a spirit horse revealed itself, its mane flowing in the breeze. Every muscle within him tightened. He glanced at Seth, who appeared to stand tall with respect.
Kianzo, brah,
the horse said.
Why do you avoid your nature? Why have you shut me out?
His knees nearly buckled hearing it, and his stomach sank. The voice was that of his sister. This time she'd come to him embodied in a horse spirit animal, one of the hardest animals to read. He swallowed hard.
I would never shut you out, he said emphatically.
But you have, she said, when you left Hawaii and turned from the shamanic ways.
Instead of swinging a leg over and leaping into the driver's seat the way he had been planning to, he reached for the car door handle. When he looked back at the horse, it was gone. He tensed further, simultaneously wanting to run after her and to flee. What was going on? He glanced at Seth.
Did you see her?
Yes.
The archangel nonchalantly rubbed his jaw as if contemplating something. He wondered if this was all coincidence, with Seth showing up and talking him into a weekend trip and his sister hacking into his life. Not that he didn't want to see her, but it was unnerving. A rush of the pain he'd left behind swept through him and settled in his chest. The agony he'd run away from was there, fresh, as if he had never been free of it. All his doubts about that day and all his feelings of inadequacy bubbled up. No, he had been right to leave Hawaii and the memories behind. He had made a new life for himself, one that didn't require his faulty shamanic customs. He slid into the driver's seat, started the engine, and drove to the Shop and Save they had passed on their way into town. Seth didn't say anything more about the spirit horse, and neither did Kianzo.
We only need a few staples, Seth said. Coffee, creamer, sugar, some snacks, maybe a sandwich for lunch. For everything else, we can eat out while I show you more of the town.
The Archangel took the lead through the store, Kianzo following along with the handheld basket. When they were finished with their selections, he paid for the items, while Seth chatted with the man at the door with a cart filled to the brim. As Kianzo approached, the man extended his hand.
Hey, I'm Nick. Welcome to Nocturne Falls. Seth was just saying this was your first time here.
Pleased to meet you, Kianzo said, shaking Nick's rock-solid hand.
Yes, I live in Tyler.
I've heard of it,
Nick said in a no-nonsense tone.
Then he got straight to the point. I'm throwing a party tonight to celebrate my friends Van and Mona Lisa's engagement. I told Seth you two should come.
Oh, thanks, Kianzo said, surprised.
That's very kind of you, but I don't want to intrude.
No, no intrusion. Seth is an old friend. Please, it's at my house.
Seth looked at Kianzo, who shrugged.
I'm the outsider here, he said to the Archangel. It's up to you.
Seth looked at Nick and nodded.
Good. Then I'll see you guys tonight.
Nick turned and pushed his loaded cart into the parking lot.
Man, the people here are nice, Kianzo commented as he and Seth returned to the Mustang.
He pulled out of the lot and headed back toward the condo.
Yes, I think they're an outgoing group since they don't have to hide who they are. Nick is a gargoyle, by the way. He's in charge of security at the fountain, among other things.
Really? There are a lot of layers to this town, aren't there? A lot of nuances the human population doesn't see, Kianzo speculated.
Correct. How is it possible to keep all this secret?
Kianzo waved his hand, indicating the streets of orange, black, and purple as he drove past.
The water from the falls has special features, let's say. It has the power to blur the edges of reality that keep humans from discovering the truth. To them, Nocturne Falls is just a marketing gimmick.
Wow. But to us supernaturals, it's freedom.
Seth seemed thoughtful for a moment.
Hey, after we drop the groceries at home, I should go buy a gift for tonight. You're welcome to tag along or hang at the condo, your choice.
No problem, Kianzo said. I'll go with.
Excellent. Why don't you keep the motor running while I run in and put these away?
Kianzo nodded, and Seth lifted the handful of grocery bags and exited.
I'll only be a moment.
While Seth was gone, Kianzo checked his email and messages on his phone. Since it was the weekend, there weren't many. His Tuesday morning meeting had been canceled, though, and the client had left him a note to reschedule. It was an estate planning meeting, so it was nothing of dire importance or something that couldn't be handled at a later date. His client had probably gotten into his holiday weekend and decided to take an extra day or something. He couldn't blame the guy. Kianzo was beginning to feel that way himself. The car door opened, and Seth dropped back into the seat.
Jeez, it's getting hot.
Nah, it's not that bad. Compared to Hawaii, this is nothing.
Kianzo put the car in gear, and the breeze kicked up as they moved, cooling things down. The convertible was great as long as they were moving, but when parked, it made him long for air conditioning.
Let's head downtown to Jack-O-Lantern Lane, Seth said. That's where Illusions is, the jewelry store that Nick's fiancée, Willa, owns. I'm sure she'll know exactly what I should get the couple.
Kianzo followed Seth's instructions. They parked outside the shop and went inside.
Illusions turned out to be a lovely, quaint, specialty jewelry store.
The problem was, the moment he set foot inside, he wanted out. The place reeked of happy magic. It swirled and swelled around him, nudging at his shamanic instinct. He swallowed hard, resisting its pull. He had to keep that part of him locked away.
He fought to concentrate on Seth's conversation with Willa. The Archangel had made introductions and asked Willa for gift suggestions for Van and Mona Lisa.
I have the perfect gift, she said, smiling.
Her blonde hair swished as she led the way to a glass curio cabinet. She opened it and took out an obelisk-shaped tower and balanced it on her opened palm.
It's called a blessing stone. This piece is made of jadeite. You can tell due to the hues of green, blue, teal, and black running through it. Jade is a gemstone that is known to encourage positive growth in life. It provides a peaceful and serene field of energy through which to achieve good luck, peace, and insight. The shape is a natural cleanser that repels negative energy from the living space.
Kianzo drew nearer to the stone.
It's stunning. I can feel its link between the mortal and immortal worlds.
He inhaled a long breath as its properties bathed him in the mystic presence of the energies around him. He could feel the doorways he'd so solidly slammed shut after his parents' and sisters' deaths begin to crack open,
doorways to other realms of reality where helping spirits resided.
I'll take it, Seth said. Can you gift wrap it for me?
Willa nodded.
Of course.
May I see the stone before you wrap it?
Kianzo asked,
unable to control his compulsion to touch the stone.
Certainly. Take a look while I ring up the purchase and get the wrapping paper.
She slipped the jadeite into his outstretched hand. He sighed deeply, and warmth spread through him. Despite his denial of his gifts, he felt the coming of great change, the calling to become a seeker of light once more. Suddenly he stiffened. No. The light had taken his sister and parents. He gently placed the blessing stone on the counter without saying a word. Seth and Willa looked at him with knitted brows.
Are you all right?
Willa asked.
Yes. Thanks.
Kianzo answered, his voice soft. His fingers trembled, and he thrust his hands into his jean pockets.
Your friends are lucky to receive such a beautiful gift. Perhaps they would be the kind of seeker he no longer was.
Chapter 5. Sasha was bored. She flew through town, searching for something to entertain her. The Enchanted Garden Floral Shop proved to be an animal-friendly establishment, with a darling courtyard entrance, complete with bird bath and feeder. She'd visited here for several days now. There were a couple of wrought iron benches strategically placed in the shade. She waited for the feeding hour to wrap up, and when the other birds took off, she ventured closer to the bird bath, taking a seat on the edge of the basin. A fountain spilled into the bowl, and she leaned in and drank. The water tasted clear and cool. Hopefully it was fresh and not simply circulated from the bath. Yuck. The owner's daughter, Saffron, replenished the feeders every afternoon once the feeding frenzy had ended. Sasha waited patiently.
You're such a sweet birdie, Saffron said. Not pushy like the others. Thank you,
Sasha said in her parrot voice. Of course she wasn't like the other birds. She was a feline shifter. Perhaps that's the reason the others left whenever she arrived. Perhaps it had nothing to do with being done eating and everything to do with sensing she was different. Whatever the reason, it was fine by her. Saffron sat on one of the benches, watching while Sasha nibbled on seed. She guessed it was instinct that drove her to eat. Caroline had also set out bird seed. The body of a bird was small compared to a human, and the kernels she consumed didn't satisfy her. Still, at the moment, it wasn't so much that she was hungry as she liked the company.
Saffron, the little girl's mother called from inside the flower shop. Coming, Mama.
She jumped up and looked over her shoulder.
See you later.
Not if I can figure out a way to get rid of this horrible spell. With a thrust of her feet and a flap of her wings, she launched into the air. Flying was the one thing she liked about being a bird. She might even miss it when it was all over. Her gaze skimmed the street, and she spotted a dreamy guy sitting in a blue Mustang in front of Illusions. She executed a deep dive and perched on a wire not far from him. She dipped her head and then straightened abruptly. It was the same guy she'd been eyeing last night at Mummy's. Damn, he was gorgeous. He had a deep tan, and his short hair was spiked fashionably. He drummed his fingers on the side mirror, as if waiting for someone to exit the store. She flew closer, landing on the 30-minute parking sign right in front of his car. He stared at her, narrowing his eyes, his brow furrowed. Sasha filled her birdie lungs with air.
What a hunk!
He leaned forward, a dreamy smile curling his lips.
Dear gods! Had she said that out loud?
Her heart fluttered. And hell's bells, he gave her an odd feeling, calm and excited at the same time. She ruffled her feathers. Gradually, he extended his palm, motioning for her to come to him. What, did he expect her to land on his hand? It was an unexpected invitation. Moving entirely on intuition, she glided and rested on his open palm,
staring at him, studying him, trying to figure out why she felt this heady connection to him. For some reason, she trusted him to keep her safe. To... The jewelry store door opened, and the angel the man had been with at Mummy's strolled toward the car. Sasha took to the air once more. She couldn't explain it, but she saw both men as warriors in their own way. Rugged, dominant protectors, embodied with strength, courage, and determination. She headed into a tall pine and waited for her heart to stop pounding. As the gray bird flew away, a hawk crossed her path. At least he thought she was a female. He sensed it somehow. The hawk intruded on his thoughts. "You must own your power. Be the visionary and seer and healer you were meant to be." Kianzo clenched his jaw, aware he was being thrust in a direction he didn't want to go.
"What in hell were you doing holding a bird?" Seth asked, climbing into the car and closing the door.
"A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush," Kianzo muttered.
Seth rolled his eyes. "Ugh, I've never liked that idiom. Way too safe. It discourages taking chances."
"Whatever."
Kianzo wasn't sure why he'd even spouted it. Perhaps because both the hawk and Seth had caught him off guard. He tried to shake his sullen mood as he drove.
"Hungry?" he asked the archangel.
"Oh, yeah. Let's hit Howler's on the way home."
Sasha paced atop the picnic table in Caroline's backyard. She hopped effortlessly over the spaces between the wooden planks. Since this afternoon, she'd had a whole lot of free time, and no matter what she did, she kept thinking of the man in the Mustang. He had nice hands, she recalled, and she couldn't believe she trusted him enough that she'd perched on his hand without fear or concern. She stretched and refolded her wings. Her friend hadn't returned from work yet. Caroline owned a small three-bedroom house on Crossbones Drive. It was a nice place, with lots of trees, a fenced-in backyard, and plenty of room for pets, which she had, of course. Three dogs and three cats lounged somewhere around the house. Caroline had wanted to keep the number even, so as not to play favorites, she'd explained. Sasha snorted. That was Caroline, always the diplomat. The purr of the VW pulling into the driveway drifted into the backyard. Sasha flew to the roof and peered out front. Good. Caroline was home. Anxiety didn't begin to describe the tension simmering in Sasha's stomach. She desperately needed to connect with the witches of Nocturne Falls, and tonight was her chance. She flew down and into the house, passing Caroline as she held open the front door.
"Hey! Wait until I put my stuff down before you fly into me," Caroline said with a laugh.
Sasha landed on the back of a chair at the kitchen table. In the dining room, a tiny bird popped out of Caroline's grandfather clock and chirped five maddening times. Nothing like being a bird listening to a fake bird to annoy the heck out of you. The wonderful thing was, on the clock's final chirp, Sasha changed into her human form. She stretched, extending her arms over her head, and then bending over to touch her toes. She finished by elongating the muscles of her hips and back.
"How was your day?" Sasha asked, trying not to be as pushy as she felt.
What she really wanted to do was get to Nick's place for the engagement party and talk to the witches. But she was well aware that she needed to chill and move slowly in that respect. She was essentially crashing the event, which wasn't something she was very comfortable with. It was a special occasion, and she didn't want to do anything to detract from the couple. She inhaled a deep, calming breath.
"Mind if I take a shower?" she asked.
"I told you," Caroline said. "Make yourself at home." Sasha smiled.
"Thanks. It's my pleasure."
"What time do you want to leave?" Sasha sauntered to the fridge, opened it, and peered inside, looking for a snack to eat before she got ready. She grabbed a cheese stick. As she peeled the wrapper back, Fritz, a male dachshund, trotted over and sat up on his hind legs.
"Fritz, stop begging," Caroline admonished.
The wiener dog held his position,
eyes intently fixed on Sasha. She didn't mind. She always saved the last bite of her food for the animals anyway. Caroline grinned. Since Nick's place is right next door, we'll head out at 6, okay? Sasha nodded, and then tossed the wrapper in the trash. Sounds good. She tried to sound positive and happy, even though her anxiety was skyrocketing. The time constraints on her human form sucked. It was better than nothing, of course, but she would have only about an hour to plead her case to Pandora and the others. With a sigh, she spun toward the spare bedroom and bath. She took a shower, blow-dried her hair, dabbed on a bit of makeup, and dressed in the black pants and coral top she'd purchased yesterday. Her favorite band of arm beads completed the outfit. She slipped on the stretchy string, settling the pale pink and ivory crystals an inch or so above her elbow. Rotating, she checked the look in the mirror, satisfied. Since the top was a bare shoulders style, she had bought a coordinating wrap for her shoulders to ward off the chill. Caroline was in the kitchen when Sasha entered the living area. Wow, you look great.
Thanks. It feels good to dress up a little. She paused as her throat caught. It's been so long since things have been normal. Caroline closed the distance between them and wrapped her in a hug. We'll figure this out and undo the spell. Don't you worry. All Sasha could do was nod.
Chapter 6 Kianzo and Seth arrived slightly late to the engagement party. Evidently, Seth had issues with being on time. Most of the guests had already arrived, including the guests of honor. The couple hung by the hors d'oeuvres, chatting with people. Seth presented them with his gift. Congratulations, he said, shaking Van's hand and kissing Mona Lisa, first on one cheek and then the other. The Archangel could really pull out the charm when he wanted to.
I'm honored you're in town and could attend, Van said, his Russian accent evident. It is good to see you.
Seth dipped his head. I feel the same. He introduced Kianzo to Van, and the two men shook hands.
You should visit more often, both of you, Van said. Nocturne Falls is a nice place.
I know. That's why I purchased a condo in town, Seth said. Kianzo's gaze shot past the two men in front of him, tuning out their banter as he eyed a woman out on the veranda. Last night, she'd fled into the streets in front of the restaurant, and he'd lost her. Now, here she was. She wore a coral halter top and black skinny jeans that hugged her slim yet shapely bottom. There was a delicacy about her frame, as if she might break easily. A band of shimmering beads wrapped her upper arm. Slowly, she turned her head and peered at him over a bare shoulder. A jolt hit him in the chest. He was inexplicably drawn to her.
Excuse me, he said to Seth and Van, and then began walking in her direction without taking his eyes off her.
He wasn't going to lose her this time. He watched her as she wrapped her arms around her waist, hugging herself. His first thought was something was wrong. From deep inside him, a vision sprang forth. He inhaled sharply. He'd seen her before, in a dream years ago, before he'd even fled Hawaii. Suddenly he recalled that he'd felt a link with her then, and he sensed a stronger bond with her now. A group of women formed a semicircle around her. As he approached, he picked up bits of conversation. Someone mentioned that she was under a spell that only allowed her to be in human form for a few hours each day, and she was desperate to get back to normal, though he wasn't sure what normal was. One thing he did know, without question, was that this woman was meant for him. It was more than love at first sight. It was two souls being connected. He understood how it was possible, at least from a shamanic point of view, but he also realized the feelings were not necessarily mutual, or even that a union was a sure thing. There was many a man who missed his soulmate due to misconceptions. Kianzo tensed, unsure what her reaction to him would be. Even so, he strolled right up to her and extended his hand in greeting.
Hello. I'm Kianso Okokane. I couldn't help overhearing that you have a bit of a problem.
She froze, gazing into his eyes. Her long, dark lashes dipped slowly down and then back up as she took his hand. Electricity shot through him at her touch.
I'm Sasha, she said.
Is there something I can do to help? He asked.
The striking young blonde stepped forward, separating herself from the group slightly.
That's very kind of you to come to my aid. Honestly, I can use all the help I can get with this stupid spell, but I'm not sure there's anything you can do.
Her words somehow warmed him from the inside out. He examined the assembly of women again. He opened up his senses in a way he hadn't since he'd left Hawaii.
I doubt there's anything you can do, the woman closest to him said with a slight laugh. She had a brunette bobbed hairdo, whiskey brown eyes, and a petite build.
Not unless you're a warlock or sorcerer. She held out her hand for him to shake.
I'm Charisma, the middle sister.
Witches? You're all witches, he asked in an even tone.
Bingo! Give the man a prize, Marigold said.
I'm not. Caroline raised her hand, singling herself out. He got the feeling that she wanted him to know there was at least one approachable person among them.
Ladies, meet the witch doctor, Pandora said, raising a manicured brow.
Shaman, he corrected with a smile.
She smiled congenially back. Sorry. When we all get together, we get a little out of hand. May I introduce the witches of Nocturne Falls?
She quickly pointed out each female witch in the group as she went around the circle.
My sisters, Charisma and Marigold, my mother, Corette, Dominique, Martha, and our high priestess, Alice.
Ladies, he nodded, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Absently, he realized he'd never been in the company of so much power in all his life. Caroline lightly touched Sasha's arm.
We need to hurry and get things set up.
Sasha eased forward again, her eyes pleading to him.
Please allow us some privacy. I don't have much time.
He held out his hand, hoping she'd place hers in his.
I might be able to help.
Accepting his offered hand, she eased into his personal space. He wrapped her hand in both of his.
Unfortunately, I don't know if anyone can help.
She scanned the area nervously. And I don't want to detract from the festivities. I only came here to introduce myself to the coven and learn if there is anything they could do. I'll be leaving in... She glanced at her watch and shifted closer to the women.
A few minutes.
Pandora placed a hand on her hip, standing tall and regal.
Don't worry. The coven will take your case under advisement.
He wondered if she was the oldest sister. She seemed to take charge. Sasha smiled weakly.
Good. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I just don't know what else to do.
Her distress tugged at his heart. He wanted to draw her into an embrace and hold her.
Explain to us what happened, Pandora added.
Her throat worked before Sasha spoke.
I had a misunderstanding with my friend, Lily Reese. She got the wrong impression from her boyfriend that we had gotten together or something. In her anger, she cast a hex on me, and now...
She spread her arms wide, palms up.
I'm only human for 3 hours out of the day.
Geez, you do need our help, Charisma said.
The alternative is to live out the duration of the spell,
another witch commented.
I don't even know how long that will be,
Sasha said sadly. Then suddenly, with no fanfare at all, she shifted into a bird. Kianzo sucked air into his lungs. If he wasn't mistaken, she was the same bird he'd encountered downtown that afternoon. The group of witches gasped in unison.
Poor girl, one of them whispered.
Kianzo held out the back of his hand. The bird perched on it.
Don't worry, he said. We'll figure this out together.
He was standing in the middle of the veranda, among the group of witches, when Seth marched up, seeming distressed.
Seth leaned in, saying under his breath, I'm sorry, 5-0, but I have to bug out. I received a summons from the Divine Tree in Japan.
He dropped keys into Kianzo's free hand.
I feel bad deserting you, but make yourself at home for as long as you like.
Seth knuckle-bumped his shoulder.
Kianzo was taken aback.
He was still reeling over what was happening with Sasha. Surprised by the turn of events, he nodded, regaining his composure.
Okay, man, no problem.
With that, Seth saluted the ladies. He hustled into the backyard and flew upward until he vanished into a speck of bright light. Behind him, he heard one of the witches whisper to another,
I like that archangel.
I really do. The bird climbed up his arm onto his shoulder. He glanced around, his eyes at last settling on Pandora, drawing on his lawyer persona.
I'll be staying at Seth's condo at the Excelsior for the next few days. If you should come up with a strategy for Sasha, please contact me. I'd really be grateful.
I have a place there also, Charisma said, so we can easily stay in touch. For a few seconds he stood there, meeting the gazes of the witches. They were all beautiful women, and by the nods of their heads and sympathetic expressions, they seemed willing to come to Sasha's aid.
Pandora, you may consult my library and see if there is remedy to the spell,
Corette said, nodding.
If necessary, we will contact the ACW for suggestions.
He had no clue what she was talking about. He squinted at her, and his brow furrowed.
The American Council of Witches, she said by way of explanation. There are rules about casting a spell in anger, Corette added. Rest assured, we're here to help.
Kianzo glanced around, past the small gathering on the porch. He wanted to start figuring this out now, this minute.
So when do we leave? If there's any way I can help, just say the word.
Pandora strolled by him and paused to pat his cheek.
Patience. I don't want to interfere with the festivities. We'll begin tomorrow.
Everyone seemed to agree. This wasn't the time nor the place to pursue the problem at hand. The group dispersed, returning to the celebration. Kianzo hung around for an hour or so, and while everyone was very friendly and inviting, he still felt like an outsider. Seth had been the one truly invited to this shindig, and he was gone. Caroline kindly filled in the gap, introducing him around. But even though she made the extra effort, he could tell she didn't move among the inner circles of the town, not like Seth did. Finally, shortly after 9 o'clock, he said goodnight and headed out. Sasha had stayed perched on his shoulder the entire time he remained at the party. But outside on the front porch, she flew from him to Caroline.
I live next door if you need anything, she explained. You can find me there or at the pet shop.
Okay, he said, smiling his thanks. I'll check in tomorrow.
Chapter 7.
The room's ambient lighting radiated a peaceful glow, yet the silence made him well aware he was alone in Seth's condo. Kianzo flipped the switch on the wall that controlled the automatic window shades and rolled them up. He had learned this evening that Julian Ellingham owned the penthouse suite. The builders had considered everyone's comfort in the design of the condos, hence the tinted windows. It was a nice touch. He could get used to this place. He stood at the window gazing out into the night. The moon hung low in the cloudless western sky, a fat crescent of the last quarter, bright and clear. Jupiter shone near it. Spiritual energy swirled around him, filling every crevice and pressing against him, suffocating him. The shaman connection was automatic and something he had to struggle to ignore. He tensed and fisted his hands. He'd opened the door tonight to that mystical pathway. Darn it, for 8 years he'd managed to keep it locked shut. Now, because of his feeling for Sasha, he'd ventured onto the path of healer again. He worried if the love he felt was true or a false reading, like he'd had with his family. Turning from the window, Kianzo kicked back in the plush leather recliner and finally closed his eyes. He'd stayed up all night, projecting a panther protection on Sasha. Through the spirit animal, he'd guarded her in her sleep. And while he was miserable on one level because he'd given in to his shamanic calling, the part of him joined to Sasha felt damn fine. He liked watching over her. But seeing her in bird form wasn't nearly as engaging as when she was in her human form.
Still, he could feel in his bones that it was his duty now to watch over her. The witch who had cast the spell on her had done so maliciously, and his law experience told him that vicious people rarely stopped with a single act of violence. Sometimes they carried a huge grudge forever, letting out their anger on others here and there for as long as they lived. That thought prompted others. What if the witches couldn't solve her problem? Was it possible they couldn't reverse the spell? That she would have to live in this limbo forever? That he would only get to be with her for 3 hours of every day?
Tukai, he swore, reverting to a Hawaiian expletive.
He got up and walked over to Seth's well-stocked bar and poured himself a glass of bourbon. He took a nervous sip, then shook his head resolutely. No. The witches would find a remedy. They had to. He took another drink, trying not to worry about Sasha. Like every other case he'd ever represented, this wasn't something he would give up on. She would be free once more. Usually the nights passed quickly for Sasha. She'd sleep through the night when nothing bothered her, and it didn't matter if she was a cat or a bird or human. Her dreams were all similar in nature, showing her a time when she was free of the curse. But tonight, an odd manifestation of dreams kept the peace at bay. She tossed restlessly. Her thoughts turned repeatedly to the shaman and his thoughtfulness in wanting to help her. When he'd introduced himself, his lingering handshake and easy manner had melted her tension away instantly. No stuffy pretense with this guy. His shoulders and chest were broad, as if he'd been swimming his entire life. And even though he had a tall, muscular frame, he moved with a laid-back grace. She recalled his kind golden eyes and handsome smile. A hint of a dimple nudged one of his cheeks. She had longed to place her palm there and ease his face closer to hers. She jerked awake, and the feeling that she was being watched by someone washed over her. She glanced around, her instincts on high alert. Someone was in the room. She'd shifted in the nest she'd created from a soft scarf. The silk rubbed against her feathers as she strained, leaning forward to see across the room better. There, on the other side of the space, a large black panther lounged in the bright moonlight. His yellow-green eyes angled up to stare at her. Her breath caught, and for a moment she wondered if she was still dreaming. She rose and stretched, and then flew across the room to a large, sturdy vase on a table. The cat tracked her movements with its eyes, but didn't budge. She dropped down and hopped cautiously across the floor, closer to the panther, and stopped a foot or so from its big paws. Her senses were going haywire, because what she saw and what she felt conflicted. On one hand, the animal didn't seem real. On the other, her brain warned her to be careful. And then the strangest thing happened. The cat faded away, like a hot breath on a cold day. Sasha's heart raced, uncertainty getting the better of her, as she moved over to the spot where the panther had been seconds earlier. Nothing. It had completely vanished. Maybe it had been part of her dream state. A real panther can't just disappear like that. She couldn't help the hard laugh that bubbled out of her at the irony. She could disappear like that now, shifting from human to bird in the blink of an eye. She sighed. This was crazy. But whatever the panther was, it felt like a friend watching over her. Perhaps her lack of fear could be attributed to her own cat-shifting nature. Like, recognizing like. She trotted back to her nest and snuggled into the scarf once more, returning to her thoughts of Kianzo. Some unknown force kept calling her to him, telling her that was where she belonged. After some time of restlessness, she flew to the window and looked out. The sky was already brightening with the rising sun. Caroline would be up and getting ready to head to the shop. Today was Sunday, so the store wouldn't be open, but she still had to tend to the animals. There was no day off for that.
Besides, it gave Sasha the opportunity to seek out Kianso. Because if she had to endure this dreadful form, at least she could pursue the connection she felt with him. She winged through the house to find Caroline. She was at the kitchen sink, filling the coffee pot with water.
"Morning,"
Sasha said. "Hey there," Caroline replied.
"I thought I'd let you know I'm hanging with Kianso today."
Caroline glanced over her shoulder. "You like him, don't you?"
"Yes, I like him a lot."
The layout of the condo underscored its functionality. The bedrooms were located on the northwest side of the building, and the kitchen and nook were on the east, which meant he could watch the sunrise over the tree line while drinking his coffee. The scene was picturesque in its own way, but it was a far cry from his home in Hawaii, where the sun sprang up from the ocean. He missed that. He missed a lot of things. While he sipped his coffee, the day grew brighter. The sun glistened through the trees, catching the morning dew. A bird settled on the top of the flagpole in front of the building. With its unmistakable green color, he felt certain it was Sasha. She turned her head right and left, seeming to be looking for something. Could she have come to him? He set his mug aside. There was one way to find out. He exited through the front door. Downstairs, the valet eyed him as he walked out into the drive in his robe.
"Is there anything I can do for you, sir?"
the man asked.
"No, I thought I saw something of interest out the window. A bird."
Kianso glanced toward the top of the flagpole, but the bird was gone. He perused the rest of the area.
"There are many birds around here," the valet said.
"This one is of particular interest to me."
As he shuffled back toward the entrance, a chirp made him turn his head. The green Quaker parrot had perched on the bench. She chirped again.
"Hey there."
He held out his arm for her to come to him. She immediately winged over and landed on the back of his extended hand.
"Oh, good, you found it,"
the valet said.
"Yes."
He brushed the crook of his index finger over her head and down the back of her neck. She leaned into his touch. He proceeded through the entry doors, heading back to the suite. When they were back inside the condo, he went to the kitchen and fixed himself another cup of coffee.
"Are you thirsty? Do you want something to drink?"
"Water, please,"
she said in her shrill bird voice. He set a cup of water on the table, and she moved over to it. Then he sliced a sweet roll down the middle and placed one half on a napkin before her.
"Thank you."
He sat and ate his half of the sweet roll while she pecked at hers.
"Finished?" he asked when she seemed to have had enough.
"Yes."
He cleared the table and cleaned up. Then he kicked back in the leather recliner with his laptop. She flew over and perched on his shoulder.
"I'm doing some research on spells," he told her.
"I've done some."
He tried to interpret the key words she'd spoken. He'd noticed that at times she conserved her speech.
"You've done some research already?"
She bobbed her head. He paused, tightening his jaw.
"Let go of the old and renew yourself," his sister's voice whispered to him.
He glanced around, trying to find her, but she didn't seem to take a form.
"Did you hear me?"
He balled his fist over the keyboard, frustrated. He didn't want to keep reverting to shamanism as he had with the panther the night before. But Sasha needed answers, and the spirit guides could have solutions. He sighed.
"I'm going to ask my spirit animals. Perhaps they know of a way to rid you of this spell."
"It couldn't hurt to check," he guessed. He closed his eyes and called on them to share new forms of guidance. As he mentally prepared himself to enter a trance, he spoke to Sasha.
"I'm going to access my dream state."
He paused, wondering what she'd think of this.
"Don't be alarmed if I'm unresponsive for a bit. My kind have been doing this since the beginning of time. Evidence can be found in rock art and cave art since the Ice Age."
"Listen to the spirits of your ancestors," his sister said. "Heed the advice of the angelic forces."
Even though that's exactly what he was contemplating, he fought against Jen's advice.
I haven't called upon my guides in a long time. I gave it up after my parents' and sisters' deaths, he admitted, the pain of their loss still searing his insides. The Quaker nuzzled his cheek.
I'm sorry.
They both jumped as a hawk materialized on the coffee table in front of them.
Life doesn't always go the way you expect it. You have to accept change. Accept the life you are guided to live,
the hawk said in his sister's feminine voice. Sasha trotted along his arm to his hand, seeming to be intently looking at the hawk, as though she also could see it.
So what do you want to do?
His sister asked him pointedly, her hawk wings braced tightly to her sides. Chapter 8. The hawk mesmerized her. Its presence was quite similar to that of the panther last night, with it kind of mysteriously there, and yet not solid or palpable. She didn't know exactly what shamans did, but there seemed to be a connection between the animals and Kianzo.
I want to free Sasha from the curse placed on her, Kianzo said, his voice rumbling strong and authoritative.
He spoke like a man used to being in control, she thought. A man who didn't accept no for an answer. A man, or lawyer, who loved to win. But at the same time he seemed gentle and caring. She fluttered her wings.
Thank you.
She glanced at the clock, even though she internally knew the time. 6 hours, 23 minutes, and 11 seconds before she transformed into her human self again. It felt like a lifetime before she'd be able to talk to him, really talk to him, in more than these monosyllabic responses. Plus, she simply wanted to know more about this striking, complex man. She turned and traveled back up his arm to his shoulder. Right there was where she would stay until she could change into her real self. He set his jaw as he tapped the keys on his computer, flipping from one email correspondence to the other. He had posted her problem to a group of his psychic friends. While she was interested in what he was learning that could help her, she tried not to read over his shoulder. The conversations were too complicated for her to comprehend anyway, as they were speaking of entering different realms of reality with open space and time constructs. At one point, she noticed that he was researching Quaker parrots, their behaviors, and what they ate. That was very sweet of him, she thought. He saw her looking at him and explained,
I wanted to see what to feed you, so I know what to pick up.
Thank you.
Around mid-afternoon, he set the computer aside and simply sat, staring straight ahead, as if focused on something far away. Sasha angled her head one way and then the other, wondering what he was doing. He seemed to be in a trance of some kind. The hawk, who had remained quietly sitting on the coffee table all day, spoke up.
We call it dreaming while awake. He has moved beyond the inner doorway.
Sasha looked at the hawk in surprise. She opened and closed her beak, not quite knowing what to say. Since the hawk appeared to be spirit instead of flesh, she didn't seem to have the same communication problem that Sasha had.
The seeker has access to a transcendent connection to the sacred realms of the spirit world. The fabric of reality is composed of a multi-level vibrational field that is conscious and intelligent. He is searching for favorable conditions in which the field will respond,
the hawk explained.
Unusual abilities,
Sasha chirped, watching Kianzo as he looked beyond what she could see.
Yes, he is a talented shaman. It has pained me to see him turn from his shamanic calling since our accident.
Sasha's breath caught. Was Kianzo's mother the spirit inside the hawk? She wondered who the female was.
He has the great gifts of wisdom, power, and healing, she went on. Our reconnection with nature is the gateway into the invisible worlds all around us.
Are you his mother?
Sasha asked, wanting confirmation. The hawk shook its head.
No. I'm his sister, Jen.
Sasha's beak dropped open. She really shouldn't be surprised at what was possible anymore,
but it still always awed her. A knock sounded at the door, and Kianzo's body jerked. He shifted and straightened, groaning softly as he came out of the trance. The hawk vanished.
"It's the witches," he said, standing.
She wondered how he knew that, but she supposed it had to do with the spirits and various planes of reality,
or something.
He walked to the door and opened it wide, revealing Pandora and Charisma.
"Good afternoon," Charisma said. The greeting lacked enthusiasm.
Neither witch smiled. They just nodded and entered as Kianzo invited them inside. Sasha's stomach knotted with uneasy anticipation.
"Would you like a cup of tea or a soda?" Kianzo offered.
"No, thank you," Pandora said. "We thought we should come in person to tell you what we found."
Sasha prepared herself. By the drawn looks on their faces, it couldn't be good news.
"I appreciate that," Kianzo said.
"As do I,"
Sasha chimed in. Pandora gave her a sympathetic smile. Charisma wet her lips.
"The spell can be broken," she started, "but only on Samhain's full moon, and only by her true love."
Sasha's heart sank. She hadn't even been on a date in over 6 months, never mind discovering her true love.
"Fortunately, we will have a full moon this Halloween," Pandora added.
Kianzo's lips tugged upward. Anger roiled in her chest.
What did he have to smile about? Halloween was a mere 3 weeks away. It was impossible.
He set his left hand on his shoulder, indicating for her to step onto it. She did, and he moved her in front of him so they were eye level and between Pandora and Charisma.
"Then there is hope of freeing her of the spell," he said. "I have seen it in my visions and know it in my heart. I am her true love."
No sooner had he said it than she changed into her human form. She inhaled a deep breath. "Say what?"
He put his hands in his pockets. "Don't worry. I have a few weeks to convince you, but we are destined for each other."
"Well," Pandora said, "it's simply a matter of timing then.
We'll leave you to get to know each other."
The sisters turned in unison, heading for the door. Charisma paused outside in the hall and looked back at them.
"Oh, and just a reminder, it has to be the real thing or the spell won't be broken. No love potions or getting Willa to make a special ring or anything like that."
"Charisma, hush," Pandora chastised her. "Just telling the truth," the other witch responded. Sasha moved closer to Kianzo, threading her arm through his. She'd been perfectly content sitting on his shoulder all day. Why should she feel differently now?
"Thank you for stopping by and sharing what you learned," she said with a nervous smile. "And thank you for even helping at all."
The witches nodded.
"We'll see you two around," Pandora said, waving as they left.
As soon as the door closed, he pulled Sasha into a hug. She felt so good in his arms, so right. He slid his palm up and down her back, trying to soothe her, to reassure her.
"It will be okay," he said.
She tipped her head and leaned it against his shoulder.
"I want to believe that."
After a moment, she stepped back and searched his eyes. "When did you see us together? Just a while ago when you were in that trance?"
"No. It was when I was younger," he said. "When I saw you at Mommy's the other night, you seemed familiar, like I should recognize you. But it wasn't until we were at Nick's place that it registered."
"Wow,"
she breathed.
He ran a gentle hand over her arm. He couldn't get enough of touching her.
"Do you want to go out for a bite to eat?"
"How about we order in?" she suggested. "I'm on a schedule, you know." She let out a small giggle.
"Okay."
He closed the distance between them and cupped her face in his hands as his lips claimed hers.
Good heavens, she tasted wonderful.
"Then I better take advantage while I can," he said against her mouth.
When she broke the kiss, he let her go. She drew in a deep, tremulous breath, searching his eyes. Her hand came up and rested on his chest, before she threaded her fingers in his hair and pulled him toward her, initiating a longer, more passionate kiss. When she moaned, he pulled her tighter against his body. What a powerful aphrodisiac to know she was as attracted to him as he was to her. He wished he could touch her and kiss her all night long. Images flashed in his head of taking her into his bedroom. Reluctantly, he ended the kiss. As he eased to her side, he said,
dinner? He tilted his head and gave her a wink. Although I'll admit I'm hungry for far more than food.
He slid one hand into hers while pulling his phone from his pocket with the other.
Is Guillermo's all right with you? Seth told me the dishes there were excellent.
She nodded. Sure. They looked at the online menu and made their selections. When he called and placed their delivery order, the guy on the other end was exuberant and helpful. Chianza wondered if the Excelsior address had anything to do with the speedy response, or if they were just as nice to everyone. He guided her to the couch, and they sat down, still holding hands. He lifted hers to his lips, kissing the backs of her fingers.
I'm your soulmate, he whispered, and I'm going to do everything in my power to prove that to you.
I guess we'll know for sure on Halloween, she said, if the spell is broken.
When the spell is broken,
he corrected, and then kissed her deeply. But even as he tasted her delicious lips, he knew the structure of destiny may have a flaw. She had to truly love him for it to work, and love reciprocated was never a given. Chapter 9. Sasha tried to shut out the tiny voice of doubt as she searched his sincere gaze. He seemed so certain, and yet she really didn't know him at all. Yes, he made her feel butterflies in her stomach when he looked at her. Yes, she definitely warmed and melted with his kiss as her limbs turned soft as caramel. Yes, when she closed her eyes and caught his spicy masculine scent, she longed to have him stay longer. But forever? Would what she felt last that long? She couldn't say. For now, though, she was extremely attracted to him. She wanted him to be the one, for a number of reasons. Perhaps most of all, she was tired of being alone. Her kind was meant to have partners, a mate for life. Outside the window, it began to rain. She strolled closer to look out. Raindrops splattered and ran down the glass. I love the rain. It makes everything seem clean and fresh.
He came up behind her and wrapped his arms around her waist. So do I. It rains about 70 inches a year in Hawaii, which means it rains somewhere on the islands nearly every day. She laughed.
So you always know your facts?
I'm a lawyer. It comes naturally. He leaned in, brushing his lips against her temple. You have a lovely laugh.
Thank you. She watched the stream of raindrops fall. I haven't had much to laugh about lately. It feels good. For several long moments they stood there, looking out the window. Calm came over her, a sense that things would be all right, that the path of healing before her was as it should be. It was nice, she thought, sharing this peaceful interval, allowing her body to feel Chianzo's heartbeat against her back. For months, she'd been so caught up in her own troubles, she'd thought of little else except breaking free. Every day she had spent trapped in bird form, her faith crumbled a bit more. Could he truly be the answer to her problems? She hoped so, especially since she liked him a lot.
Dinner is here, he said, angling his chin toward the parking lot below.
She followed his gaze to the car sporting the restaurant name as it pulled into the drive. Good, I'm hungry. She was also hungry for him, and everything he represented. Companion, friend, lover. The downstairs attendant rang up that dinner was here.
Excellent. Send him to the suite, Chianzo said.
A few minutes later, they had everything arranged on the dining table, including an exquisite bottle of wine. She inhaled an appreciative breath. It smells divine.
I've never eaten at Guillermo's, but Seth seemed to like it.
I haven't been there either. I was under the impression the place was better suited for a romantic evening. She shrugged. In my current situation, well, let's just say romance hasn't been on my list.
It is now.
She lowered her lashes, then peeked at him again. He gave her a look that sent a tingle all the way down to her toes, plus a flare of heat went straight to her tummy.
Sounds good to me.
And it did. She wanted to be romanced by this guy, this shaman, this spirit-guide warrior who seemed to know things she didn't. She watched his strong hands as he poured her wine and gave it to her. If she'd had to guess, she never would have placed him in a desk job. His physique suggested physical activity. Maybe he did a lot of exercise or played sports on the side. She slipped into the chair across from him.
"Smells yummy," she said.
"It sure does.
Do you cook?" she asked.
"Only enough to get by. But I'm the king of grilling out."
When I lived in Montgomery, Alabama, before the curse, I used to cook a lot. In my free time, I'd take in the cooking channel and love to try new recipes. She fought against the sadness of losing her life.
"Guess that doesn't work now," he said.
"Well, I can still watch the shows. I'm just in my bird form." She laughed half-heartedly, deciding to look on the bright side.
"True. Do you have any family to help you out?"
She shook her head, reaching for a piece of bread.
"No. I'm an only child, and my parents live in Australia. I didn't want to bother them over a lover's quarrel."
"Lover's quarrel?"
His spine straightened, and he stared at her with narrowed, questioning eyes.
"Perhaps that's not the right term. It wasn't my lover, but a friend's. She got angry over a misunderstanding. It wasn't my fault her guy hit on me, but she got angry anyway, and wham, bam, now I'm up close and personal with feathers."
"She doesn't sound like much of a friend."
"She wasn't. An acquaintance from work, mainly. But I learned it's best to stay on the good side of any witches."
"I'm sorry."
"Thanks."
She observed him as he ate another bite of his lasagna, then rotated his fork upside down and drew it through his mouth again. The man had exquisite lips, the slightest bit full and expressive. Holy cats, she enjoyed watching the merest play of emotions roll over them. The sideways tug as he half-smiled, the slight purse, the inward draw as he contemplated something she said. Wondering how much time she had left, she glanced at her watch. Minutes. Darn it all. He noticed her checking, but said nothing. He simply lifted her dessert fork, cut a chunk of tiramisu, and positioned it in front of her mouth.
"Better finish eating."
She opened her mouth and he fed her. The dessert melted on her tongue, sweet and smooth, with rich chocolate, coffee, and hint of rum flavors. The bite was too large, so she took what she could and left the rest, which promptly vanished between his lips. Warmth settled low inside her. Her tongue swept the edges of her mouth as she fought the desire to lean across the table to kiss him.
1 minute she gazed into his gorgeous dark eyes, and the next all she saw was the underside of the table and found herself staring at his pants-clad thighs and crotch.
Oh my. He stood, navigating around the table to view her, extending his hand for her to step upon.
"It's still early. Let's go sit in the living room."
His interaction amazed her. He could have simply viewed her as a bird, an animal of little significance. However, the warm, compassionate look in his eyes said differently. She flew to his offered hand, resting on his knuckles. In the living room, he dropped into a recliner and flipped on the TV, bringing up the directory and stopping on the cooking channel. He stroked a finger over her head and down the feathers on her back.
"I know we just ate, and this may not be very appealing to you at the moment. Would you like me to put on something else?"
"No,"
she chirped. It was the sweetest thing he could have done. She scampered to his shoulder and nudged her neck against his cheek.
"Thank you."
The program featured a connoisseur traveling across the country sampling food. He was in Maine in this episode.
When you're back to normal, we'll have to travel to some of these restaurants mentioned on this show. I may not be the best cook, but I love to eat.
Me too.
It pleased her that they had something in common. For a long while, they relaxed and learned about a culinary find for scrumptious seafood on the coast of Maine. Despite the show's intriguing subject, Sasha grew less interested in the program as she tuned in to the man at her side. She paid attention to his breathing and the rise and fall of his muscular pecs. She observed the pulsing vein at his throat, and she wished she were in human form so she could feel the warmth of that spot beneath her lips. What an awful time to fall for a guy. He'd claimed to be her true mate, but she wasn't convinced. Didn't bells and whistles go off in those cases? Oh, what a mess her life was. Kianzo relaxed, allowing the last 24 hours to sink in. He'd reluctantly come to Nocturne Falls with Seth, simply for a getaway. Now, he'd met his mate. He didn't know whether to jump for joy or run for the hills. A wife hadn't been anywhere on his radar. The voice in his head taunted.
Who said she will have you?
It was true. There was no certainty. She could deny what was destined for them. Or perhaps she could accept him, only to get out of her current predicament. The last thought bothered him. Pandora had indicated that the love between them had to be the real deal. Did that mean if she didn't truly love him, she wouldn't change? Like, if she only accepted him to get out of the curse, it wouldn't work? He suppressed a sigh. Actually, that would be a good thing, he guessed. He wanted her love to be genuine, not forced, because she was desperate to change her situation. The love element may be moving too fast for her. Even if they were meant to be together, would she feel that for him in just 3 weeks? A full moon on Halloween may not come again for years. Tightness crept into his chest. If she didn't love him now, they would be living in this limbo for a very long time. She seemed to sense the anxiety within him. Her light steps tickled as she trekked over his chest to the hollow of his sternum. There she settled, folding herself into a feathery ball. He closed his eyes, getting control of his doubts. 3 weeks. He had 3 weeks to make her fall in love with him. His lips eased to one side. His eyes were closed. He mentally snickered. He could do that, couldn't he? The next thing he knew, the sun peeked through the windows. Cracking one eyelid open, and then the other, he stole a look. Yep, it was morning. He'd slept the entire night in the recliner with Sasha on his chest. She twittered as he stretched.
Good morning, he said.
Morning, she replied, and then flitted around the room, landing on the back of a chair.
Since he wasn't quite sure what needs she had as a bird, he strolled to the window and cracked it open.
There, if you need to fly outside, you can.
But instead, she landed on his shoulder again.
Or not.
She chirped a happy sound. He walked into the bedroom suite.
To most people, talking to a bird may seem odd, but I speak to spirit animals all the time.
He paused, remembering.
At least I did, until I gave up that life.
With a rustle of wings, she glided to the middle of his bed. He had a moment of imagining her there in human form. It was a delicious thought of her dressed in a silky, red nightie that he would enjoy peeling off of her.
I'm going to grab a shower, he said with the slightest catch in his voice. Then we can eat and tour some of Nocturne Falls. Seth had mentioned a car show today. That may be fun.
But was anything enjoyable for her when she was in this altered form? He'd have to ask her this evening.
Chapter 10.
Sasha sat on the bed feeling a bit sorry for herself. Here she was, with the hottest guy she'd been with in her life, and she was stuck in the body of a bird. She inhaled and tried to put a positive spin on things. The shower came on in the bathroom. The patter of the water beating against the glass filtered through the half-open door, along with a swirl of damp air. It would have been wonderful to join him. She envisioned running her hands over his slick, hard chest and soaping him up. Huh. What would it be like to have a real relationship with him? She realized she was toying with the possibility, which was totally crazy given her situation. But if she were herself again? No, she barely knew the man. Still, there was something about him that touched her. Maybe it was the way he cared for her while she was a bird. Maybe if they had a real date, she'd know for certain. The bathroom door pushed fully open, and Kianzo strolled out with a towel wrapped around his hips.
Sorry, I forgot my clothes.
As he entered the walk-in closet, Sasha clutched the bedspread with her talons to remain in place. Ooh, she wanted to trail behind him and get another glimpse of those hard plains,
and perhaps even a peek at his backside when that towel slipped away.
That very human part of her didn't seem any harm in wishing. She gave a long, tremulous sigh. How could he want anything to do with her? Disappointment sliced through her as he exited the closet, fully dressed, handsome as ever, wearing a button-up gray shirt and navy slacks. He carried a pair of dark brown suede penny loafers. The mattress dipped as he sat and slipped on the shoes. She stepped closer, getting a whiff of his freshly showered scent. He smelled good. She hoped she'd be able to grab a shower this evening.
Ready? He paused, looking over his shoulder at her. Can I get you anything before we go?
No, I'm fine. He held out a hand for her to step upon. She did, and he placed her on his shoulder.
I'm starting to like having you with me.
His voice was a gentle rumble. He smelled even better up close, masculine, kissable. She rubbed the top of her head along his jaw. Her days had gotten remarkably better with him near. It was mid-morning by the time they arrived at the fairgrounds. The temperature gave a hint of fall. Kianzo stopped by the farmer's market near the gate. He purchased some grapes that he thought Sasha might enjoy and a soda for himself. The turnout was pretty decent. He had to wait in line to get his ticket. Evidently the proceeds went to a worthy cause, Bridge, crisis counseling for misguided teens of dual species. He guessed identity issues could get super confusing. What if you were part vampire and part werewolf, or a mixture of fae and gargoyle, or shaman and shifter? That's what their children would be if he and Sasha had kids. The muscles along his back tensed. It was a sobering thought. But his feelings took him to a place where he easily envisioned a life with her as his wife. If she'd have him. He turned his head and peeked down at his shoulder where she sat. Even if they had to live together in this limbo state she was in, she was worth it. She had the kind of spunk he admired. Here she was, making the best of a bad situation and trying to take control of finding a solution. She was something else, beautiful and kind, and in need of protection, whether she liked it or not. He was willing to work through their difficulties and plan a future together. He imagined the things couples did, their goals of marriage and vacations, and sharing life and a family. He looked forward to being a father, he realized, and until now, he hadn't given much thought to that. He nodded at the people he passed. Nocturne Falls would make a great place to raise a family. Yes, someday it would be nice having children with Sasha. That was one hell of a thought. But he sensed a real relationship wouldn't happen until she was her real self again. Not because he had a problem with her unstable state of being, but because he didn't think she would allow it. He set his jaw, determined to convince her otherwise. Yes, Nocturne Falls would make a fine hometown. As he moved between the rows of pristine classic automobiles, he began thinking of the people as neighbors rather than strangers.
"How's it going?" Nick said as he approached Kianzo at the 1954 Jaguar coupe display.
Kianzo looked up.
"Oh, hi. We're doing great. This is a fantastic show." "Yes, it is," Nick said.
He took in Sasha, perched on his shoulder.
Pandora told me about your dilemma, Sasha. I'm so sorry.
Thank you, but the end may be in sight,
Sasha intoned, her parrot voice happy with anticipation.
Glad to hear it.
His phone vibrated in his pocket. He pulled it free and glanced down.
Willa. She wants me at the baked goods table. He nudged the phone at Kianzo. Good luck. See you later.
Nick zigzagged through the people milling around the cars. Kianzo continued on to a red 1964 Corvette convertible several yards away. Sasha whistled.
Now that's my kind of wheels, she said.
She flew from his shoulder and landed on the steering wheel, peering out the windshield. He imagined her in human form, sitting in the driver's seat. The car was sexy, but she would outshine it by a mile. She would look fantastic, with her white blonde hair whipping in the wind. And he liked the picture of him sitting next to her and leaning over the gear shift to steal a kiss.
You have a dreamy look on your face, she said. What are you thinking?
Of how beautiful you'd look driving this vet.
Too bad you don't know the owner. Maybe he'd let us take it for a spin.
It was a crazy thing to say. No stranger loans out his antique vet. Then again, when you're under a witch's spell, isn't everything a little crazy?
Yeah, that would be fun, he played along.
Actually, he would consent to any fantasy that would make her happy. She flapped her wings and rose into the air. For a heartbeat, he felt like she was leaving him. A sinking sensation sat heavy in his stomach. Then she banked and came back, taking her usual place on his shoulder. He couldn't help it. His lips widened into a grin.
Don't leave me like that, he told her.
She laughed, the first he'd heard from her. The sound warmed his heart and caused his throat to tighten.
You said we were soulmates, right? You're not going to get rid of me that easy.
The food tables formed a horseshoe at the end of the row of cars, successfully trapping the spectators.
Funnel cakes. Want to share one?
Sure.
He ordered and paid for the funnel cake, and then found a large, shady oak, away from the crowd, where he parked his ass with his back pressed against the tree trunk. Sasha rested on his lap as he fed her pieces of grapes and funnel cake. No one seemed concerned about a man and his bird. Then his cell phone rang. Chapter 11.
It was Pandora. She's been looking for us. She wants to meet, Kianzo said.
Did she say why?
No, but she'll meet us here. She already went by the condo, and she's on her way.
Sasha latched onto his finger with her talons and squeezed.
I hope nothing has changed, you know, that Halloween isn't the day or something.
A tightness spread throughout her chest as uncertainty leaked through the cracks in her optimism.
No, there was no use getting upset yet.
Still, she held firmly in place. His strong presence gave her hope. He leaned in, brushing his lips over the feathery crown of her head.
It will be fine. Don't worry.
She gave him a hesitant chirp as she bobbed her head. He was right. In a few weeks, this curse would be no more, and then she could get to know him without being forced into a relationship due to a spell.
She'd like that. A lot.
Kianzo offered her another grape. He'd been a sweetheart about feeding her. She shook her head.
No, thank you.
He plopped it onto his tongue, and in a blink, the orb vanished into his mouth.
Ooh, she wished she were in human form, so she could throw her arms around his neck and kiss the nectar from his delectable lips.
Her beak dropped open, watching him. He stroked a knuckle along her throat.
What time is it?
She asked.
2:30.
She dipped her head down.
Only 2.5 hours to go.
He lifted her higher, so they were at eye level.
It will pass quickly. You'll see.
Not quick enough, she replied. Can we spend the evening at home tonight?
Sure. Do you have anything special in mind? He asked with a wink.
Naughty things. Very naughty things.
A laugh of approval rumbled in his chest, sending warmth all the way through her body. She may be in an avian form, but her reactions were 100% human female. Not to mention her jaguar shifter longed to purr and stretch beneath his capable hands. Pandora approached at a near run, with her legs striking against the long skirt that she wore, causing the fabric to hitch up with every step she took. Charisma trailed a few steps behind her. As the two halted, Pandora unfolded a book from beneath her arm. Sasha swallowed. The lump in her throat grew from a tiny seed to a heavy rock.
"Something's wrong. What's the matter?" she asked Pandora in a rush.
"Don't be alarmed, my dear. We're committed to helping you with whatever you need," Charisma began.
"You're scaring me," Sasha said.
"Just spit it out," Kianzo urged.
Pandora opened the book, but Sasha thought it was more to stall than that she actually needed the tome.
"Marigold discovered an addendum to the spell. Apparently, in addition to being with your true love under Samhain's full moon, the person who decreed the curse must also be present and repeal the spell."
Sasha inhaled sharply.
"Oh, no. How will I convince her to come here? Lily will never agree to that."
"You can't be certain, dear," Charisma said.
"I don't see how she would help me. She's the reason I'm in this mess,"
Sasha whispered, her voice trembling. Pandora gently closed the book.
"We have some time. I'm sure you'll think of something."
They were at the condo well before 5 o'clock. Sasha paced on the glass coffee table, the tips of her talons making clicking sounds as she traveled back and forth. As the switching hour arrived, she froze in anticipation. Finally, a tiny hum began in her core and circled outward into her shoulders and limbs. Then she jumped into the air and landed on 2 feet, whole in her human form. With her emotions in turmoil, she stretched both arms over her head, entwining them languidly before letting her arms fall and settle behind her head and then shoulders, exposing her heart to him.
"I want..."
She paused, capturing his gaze with hers. Could he tell what she needed? Wanted? Her gaze slanted to the side.
"Perhaps we should go to the bedroom."
He took 3 enormous steps forward and drew her up against him, pressing his hardness against her soft mound. She lifted her leg and wound it around his hips to his back. He helped her, lifting her leg higher still, while at the same time sliding his palm beneath her bottom. A shimmer of electricity ran through her. She wrapped her arms around his neck and guided him closer until their lips locked in a fierce, hungry kiss.
"Yes, the bedroom," he said into her mouth as he lifted her into his strong arms.
Chapter 12. Sasha opened her eyes an hour and a half later, coming down from the pleasure high to see Kianzo, resting on his side with his head propped in his hand, watching her.
"You're beautiful," he said.
His fingers smoothed a line down her neck, over her collarbone and shoulder, and skipped along her arm. She stretched like the cat shifter she was, satisfied, happy, and bone limp.
"You're talented."
He tipped his head down and kissed her.
"Shall we go for round 2?
Abruptly, she realized she'd forgotten about time. The one thing she so carefully monitored had totally left her brain. She placed a palm on his chest, pushing him away. "The time?" She looked across his magnificent body as he fell back onto the mattress, a golden god stretched out on the bed beside her, as her gaze darted to the bedside clock.
7. Her stomach rumbled.
He rolled to his side of the bed and stood.
"Okay. I'll go rustle us up some dinner while you shower. How does that sound?"
Sasha rose on the other side, dragging the sheet with her. She faced him, with the expanse of the bed between them, and marveled at how magnificent he looked, standing there in all his naked glory.
"Delicious."
She smiled wickedly. He raised a brow, and the muscle in his jaw worked, as if he were fighting for control. She gave a throaty laugh, and then turned toward the bathroom, forcing herself not to glance back as she heard the swish of his clothes behind her. A smorgasbord of leftovers greeted him when he opened the refrigerator. He took several boxes out and set them on the counter, along with some plates. He would allow her to make her own selections, and then reheat their food in the microwave. Not fancy, but it would work. Sasha exited the bedroom with her chin-length hair damp and finger-combed. She looked fantastic. Their lovemaking had been impromptu and intense. He sensed her need to feel completely alive and connected, and he was glad he was there for her to turn to.
"I hope you're hungry. I think we have enough leftovers. The restaurant was very generous in the portions," he said.
"I think I've worked up an appetite."
He gave a low laugh. "Indeed."
She walked right into his open arms and kissed him.
"Make your selections and I'll bring it to you."
She pointed to the Guillermo's boxes. "That'll do."
"Good. I'll have the same."
He kissed her forehead.
"How about we eat in the living room?"
She nodded. "Okay." He let go of her, even as his fingers itched to pull her back, and watched the enticing sway of her hips as she strolled to the sofa. Her fluid strides made him envision the feline shifter in her. She curled up on the leather couch to wait for him. A few minutes later, the ding of the microwave told him their dinner was warm and ready, just like him. But there wouldn't be time for what he had on his mind. No, she needed her nourishment while she had the chance. He made a tray for them, carried it into the living room, and took a seat beside her. She leaned curled up beside him while they ate. The sofa had been the perfect choice, nothing in between them. Sasha draped one long leg over his. When they finished eating, he set the containers aside and placed his arm around her shoulders. She rested her head against him. This is where he wanted her to stay, forever, right by his side. If only this dreadful curse were gone. And what if Halloween came and they couldn't fix things? Then what? He tried to control his breathing so he wouldn't let on how much the thought tore him up inside.
"Thank you for today," she said huskily,
and then she changed into a parrot right before his eyes. He immediately placed his hand down for her to step upon, and then set her on his chest.
"You're welcome." He was quiet for several moments, thinking of the challenges before them, then said, "I have to go home tomorrow and back to work."
She didn't say anything, but turned her head away, looking out the window.
"Do you want to come with me or stay here in Nocturne Falls?"
He rushed on, trying to sound unconcerned.
"Whatever you choose, I can return on the weekends."
"I don't want to be a burden."
"You won't be. I work during the day. You are welcome to hang out wherever you choose."
"I don't know." He wished he could read her better when she was in bird form. She tilted her head.
"Caroline has been so kind to take me in. She's used to dealing with all sorts of animals. It's not the same for you."
"Come home with me," he urged more adamantly. "I have a plan to get Lily to Nocturne Falls for Halloween. Trust me."
Chapter 13. He stared into the darkness as night fell, sipping his glass of bourbon and numbly tuning in to the subtle flavors of orange, vanilla, and spice rolling over his tongue. It took two stiff drinks before he could relax enough to sleep. He remained on the couch. His memory kept returning to their romp in the bed. She'd been so warm and responsive in his arms just hours earlier. He desired to have her in his arms right now, but he felt the distance growing between them with her uncertainty, and it made him nervous. He stroked the parrot nesting on his chest. He would do everything in his power to help her find a way out of the spell. Then he could love her the way he wanted to, the way she deserved. He dozed fitfully throughout the night. In his mind, he reviewed his plan, ready to put it into motion as soon as he got to his office. He was staring at the ceiling when the alarm he'd set on his cell phone chimed. Cupping her to his chest with one hand, he rose and punched the off button.
She wriggled free and flew into the kitchen, where she perched on the back of a stool.
"I've decided to go with you,"
she said, extending her wings.
"If that's still okay."
"Of course it is. I was hoping you'd agree."
He stood and stretched tired muscles, a jubilant mood washing over him. She was coming with him. Yes! Tyler was a short hour-and-a-half ride from Nocturne Falls. Kianso had put up the topper on the car this morning because of the damp, misty weather. He drove straight to his office and arrived early, according to what he'd told her, in time to tackle what he'd planned for Lily Reese before he began his appointments. Sasha was skeptical and curious about his intentions. How could he possibly get Lily to agree to come to Nocturne Falls? Her acceptance was the first step. The second was to get her to revoke the spell. Yes, her cooperation would be the easiest solution, but beyond that, was there another way to undo the spell? Sasha sighed,
not at all convinced Lily would help her.
Her heartbeat thrummed against her ribs. Her eyes grew moist. If things didn't work out, then she would disappear. It wasn't fair to entangle him in her strange half-existence. She wanted to believe him. Still, a tiny, damaged part of her, deep inside, wondered if she could truly trust anyone. With a deep breath, she regained her composure. She perched on Kianso's shoulder as he collected information from the internet. She recognized Lily's address and phone number when he scrolled down the screen. "That's her," she bit out. He grabbed the information. Then he typed a very official-looking letter declaring that Lily was the winner of a 5-day and 4-night, all-expense-paid trip for two to Nocturne Falls over Halloween, October 28th through November 1st.
"For two? That's mighty generous."
"She'll be more likely to use the offer if she can bring a friend, don't you think?"
"Yes. Smart thinking. All she has to do is get there. The drive from Montgomery to Nocturne Falls is nothing, less than 4 hours."
She thought of her own trip 9 months ago. It had taken her 2 days because of the curse. Since she was only in human form a short time each day, she'd had to split the driving time in 2 segments. Her car, filled with the few things she'd brought, was still parked at Caroline's house.
"I'm paying for this," she insisted.
"Hey, it's my idea. I'm offering up Seth's condo for them to stay at. I'm sure he won't mind. It's probably too late to find accommodations elsewhere."
"True. Okay, but I'm picking up all the other tabs. Let's include $300 in food."
"That will be an added benefit."
He smiled at her.
"If you weren't a bird right now, I'd squeeze the daylights out of you."
"Hold that thought until this evening."
She shot him a sideways glance, not at all sure her eyes conveyed the desire she felt. Sasha pulled herself back to the task at hand and clamped her beak shut. Would Lily take the bait? She hoped so.
"What if she doesn't respond?"
"I'd hate to resort to Plan B," he grumbled.
"What's that?"
He shrugged.
"I'm not sure. Kidnap her, perhaps?"
"You can't do that."
Even as she protested, she couldn't help the unbidden image of Lily resting in the back seat of the Mustang with her hands and feet wrapped in duct tape. No, she couldn't do that, even to people who had wronged her. He glanced at her.
"We'll see about that. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. It's up to her."
She watched him, admiring the determination in his eyes. It was a side of him she hadn't seen, yet she liked a lot. She was touched that he was willing to go to such lengths to help her. The final lines were the cherry on top. The instructions indicated a response must be received by October 20th, or the offer would be forfeited. He listed his law firm's email contact for a quicker response. Brilliant. That way they'd know if she planned on coming to town or not. Of course, there was always the possibility of her saying one thing and not following through. The tiny negative voice in the far corner of her brain chimed in. Pressing her lips together, she squashed it. This would work. It had to, or else she'd be stuck in this limbo forever. It was a grueling wait. For 9 days,
She helped Kianso check his mail and inbox, anticipating Lily's reply. They were down to the deadline without an acceptance. With every minute that passed, she grew more nervous. They had gotten into a routine, playing house during her normal hours, with her keeping him company during the day at his office. Over the weekends, they drove to Nocturne Falls. Today was Friday, so they were on their way. He had arranged his schedule so that they drove during the mid-afternoon to Nocturne Falls. That put them in town at dinner hour, when she could make the most of her 3 hours in human form. She eyed the phone on the console between the seats, where his cell phone rested in silence. She sighed, transferring her focus outside the car. The skies were clear, the weather brisk, and the leaves on the trees had already turned orange and red. She tried to appreciate the gorgeous fall day. As they drove into town, with perfect scheduling, she changed into her human self. She stretched in the bucket seat and then lifted his phone to peer at it one more time, wondering if she'd missed the chime of an email. Nothing. She chewed on the corner of her last good fingernail. What were they going to do now?
Staring at it won't make the mail happen, he said, with far more lightness in his voice than she felt.
I know. She placed her hand on his shoulder and leaned in, giving him a kiss on his cheek. You've been wonderful. Thanks for helping me keeping my sanity.
Is that all I've helped you with? He teased.
A flush rushed into her cheeks. I have gotten rid of a lot of pent-up energy lately. She couldn't help but grin back at him. He winked at her. And like that, her mood improved. The warm swish in her chest that she always got at his sexy smile filled her. At Mummy's diner, he parked, got out of the Mustang, and walked around to open the door for her. They had become Friday night regulars at the restaurant. He was motioning for her to enter when his phone chimed. Sasha straightened, watching him as he looked at the screen. His eyes twinkled. What is it? Her heart raced. He rotated the phone around so she could read the message. I'm thrilled to claim my prize. I will arrive in Nocturne Falls as indicated on October 28th. She gave a little squeal and threw her arms around his neck. You did it! Now if she doesn't back out or something. He placed a finger beneath her chin and lifted it, looking into her eyes.
Whatever happens, you're my true love. Always. We are meant to be together.
She gave him a half smile without saying a word, because she didn't want to lie. She swallowed the peach pit-sized lump in her throat, all scratchy and painful. If this didn't work, then she would leave and allow him to get on with living a whole life.
Chapter 14. Bedtime was the most difficult hour of the day, when he would have loved to hold Sasha curled up beside him, sleeping, and when his doubts stung, as if he'd been caught in a school of box jellyfish in Hanauma Bay. He shivered at the memory. He noticed that the closer they got to Halloween, the more hesitant Sasha became. It was as if she didn't want to trust too much, perhaps afraid the plan would fall through and she'd be stuck in this life forever. He'd tried to reassure her that he wanted her no matter what the outcome, and yet a barrier remained between them. Every time he mentioned he desired her even in her present state, she'd clammed up. Somehow he needed to prove to her they could make a relationship work, that he loved her. He grinned to himself, acknowledging what he felt. 3 weeks ago, when he'd accepted Seth's invite, he had no way of knowing the big, wonderful changes heading his way. But at the same time, he knew it had to be right for her also. Now that he'd met Sasha, he didn't want to think of his life without her. He shook his head. No, everything would work out fine. Hadn't his animal guides told him as much? He closed his eyes, and as he slept, he ventured into the world of his shamanic calling.
They pulled into Caroline's drive on Friday a week later, the day before Lily's scheduled arrival. This evening, Sasha had requested a meeting with the Nocturne Witchy Sisters, and they had been kind enough to agree. Sasha wanted to make sure she had all her bases covered. She would have only one chance to get everything right during the full moon on Halloween. Otherwise, according to Pandora, it would be another 19 years before the conditions were right again. Holy cats and dogs. She couldn't withstand a life in limbo for that long. She just couldn't.
"Where do you want me to put your things?"
Kianzo asked, entering the foyer.
"The guest room is on the left," Sasha said, pointing the way.
Caroline had welcomed them as guests through Halloween, or for as long as they needed. As predicted, all accommodations within 45 miles were sold out.
"Thank you for letting us stay here," Sasha said.
"Yes, it was very nice of you. Thanks,"
Kianzo added.
"Glad to have you," Caroline replied. "I set bath towels on the bed. Make yourselves at home."
"Got it," Sasha said. "Same as before." They set their things in the bedroom and then prepared to greet Pandora and her sisters. Actually, they weren't positive who would be stopping by to help them, but she appreciated any and all of their help. They had broken their multi-week Friday streak of eating at Mummy's, but not completely. Tonight, they'd stopped on the way into town and grabbed enough takeout for guests. Sasha arranged the food on the dinette table, along with some spiced apple cider. Kianzo scooped dip onto a nacho chip and plopped it into his mouth. He strolled over to Sasha and encircled her with his strong arms.
"No matter what happens, I'm here for you."
Sasha held tight to the overwhelming feelings sparking through her chest. She was thankful for his support. And there was a part of her that wanted more from him. Much more. If only they had a normal relationship. The doorbell rang. Caroline did the honors of opening the front door. Pandora, Charisma, and Marigold strolled in single file.
"Thank you so much for meeting with us this evening," Sasha said.
"We're glad to help, child," Pandora replied.
Charisma headed straight to the food and plucked a fried mushroom from a tray.
"You even have Mummy's Better Than Sex pie? I like your style, girlie.
Help yourself to some snacks. Then Kianza will fill you in on what's happening," Sasha said.
"Caroline, you too."
She didn't want her friend to feel left out, especially since she'd been on her side since she arrived in Nocturne Falls. Everyone filled a plate and then found a seat in the living room. Kianzo sat beside Sasha on the love seat with his arm around her shoulders. The feeling of support in the room boosted her confidence. She was too nervous to eat, but she sipped on a glass of cider.
"Okay," Kianzo began. "Lily Rhys is in town. We offered her a free trip here for Halloween, and she accepted. So half our task is accomplished."
"How clever.
And you didn't have to resort to force, because that would have never worked," Pandora said.
"Good,"
Charisma chimed in. "We need three elements to revoke the spell." She read from a book. "A remorseful heart, a true lover's start, beneath a magical moon, bears a healing boon." Sasha considered what Charisma had read.
"Who has to be remorseful? Lily?"
"Yes. The person who cast the spell has to regret what they'd done," Pandora said.
"I doubt she's sorry," Sasha said.
"Maybe Lily simply needs a bit of guidance,"
Marigold said. She leaned over and patted the back of Kianzo's hand.
"You love her, don't you?"
Sasha almost spewed her drink all over the place. She swallowed quickly and coughed to recover from the bit of liquid she'd inhaled. Kianzo took her hand in his as he stared into her eyes.
"Yes, I love her."
"Then everything should work out fine," Marigold chuckled. Sasha wondered why the witch hadn't asked her if she loved him. Could Marigold see her love for Kianzo, even though Sasha hadn't been willing to voice it? She sucked the flesh of her cheek in between her teeth and toyed with it. Somewhere deep within, she didn't feel she deserved his love, and she was guarding herself against disappointment. As if reading her mind, Pandora waved her hand at Sasha. We know you love him.
Kianzo raised a brow and peered at Sasha.
Do you now?
She leaned in close enough for her breath to mingle with his.
Yes, she whispered,
and then brushed her lips over his.
Okay, let's return to the subject of saving my backside.
I do like your backside.
Charisma cleared her throat. On Halloween at 7:30, we'll all meet at the fountain. We'll work the spell reversal then.
Pandora nodded. Just make sure Lily is there with you.
Chapter 15. Kianzo had included his phone number and instructions in the acceptance email he'd sent Lily Reese, so on Saturday, he'd been expecting her call when she arrived in town. He and Sasha had decided it would be best for him to handle the details of her stay, and for Sasha to remain on the sideline until Halloween. That way they might be able to gauge the likelihood of Lily being willing to free her of the curse. After filling in the Excelsior staff about the prize winners, Kianzo greeted Lily and her male guest at the front door.
Ms. Reese?
He inquired, as she strutted through the double doors the valet and the man were holding open for her.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to Nocturne Falls. I am Kianzo Kane of the Kane Law Office.
Pleased to meet you. This is James Gibson.
Kianzo took in the petite woman with curly, dark red hair. She was much shorter than Sasha and had big, blue-gray eyes. James sported a dark beard. Tattoos disappeared into the T-shirt sleeves of both arms.
I don't know how I was so lucky to win a trip.
Her laugh came out with a little snort.
I have a welcome packet for you.
He held out a folder emblazoned with his law office name and logo, and then opened it for her to see the contents.
Here is the key to the condo. This elevator will take you to the fourth floor. Plus, you will find gift cards to most of the Nocturne Falls restaurants and a few boutiques. This is a $5,000 value. All you have to do is enjoy the holiday festivities and stay through November 1st.
I have to stay over Halloween? Her voice turned whiny and uncertain.
Yes, that's required in the package,
Kianzo said firmly. She turned her head to look at James.
That means we'll miss the big bash at the ranch.
She thrust out her bottom lip and glanced at Kianzo.
I really hadn't decided if we'd stay the entire time.
You won't find a better Halloween celebration than here in Nocturne Falls.
He figured that was indeed the case, since they celebrated the holiday continually, and this year he'd find out firsthand. Lily gave a hesitant nod.
I guess.
Good.
He handed her the electronic key and packet.
Enjoy your stay.
As if a switch had been flipped, she turned all bubbly. Stepping toward the elevator, she said, This is going to be so fun.
Kianzo waved. See you around.
In her bird form, Sasha watched from outside the building. She couldn't hear the conversation, but observed the play of emotions changing on Lily's face. Her old friend was a drama queen for sure. It was a quality that drove Sasha crazy sometimes. That, and Lily changed opinions like a chameleon changed colors. But Lily's biggest weakness was men. Sasha had felt a twinge of unease as Kianzo conversed with the woman. She reminded herself that Lily was a witch who couldn't be trusted. That alone made her nervous. Feeling a buzz glide over her feathers, she changed into her human self as Kianzo strolled up to her.
That wasn't the same man she was with when she put the hex on me, she said, her voice sounding somewhat bitter.
You mean I can't sock him for coming on to you?
She grinned. He was trying to lighten her mood and make her relax. It worked. She slid her arms around his waist and gazed up into his eyes.
Everything go okay?
Yes.
There was a hesitation in his voice.
But?
She questioned.
He shrugged. I have a hard time reading her.
Now you see how I ended up in this predicament. I thought she was my friend.
Have you spoken to her since she put the spell on you?
No.
Maybe she's sorry.
I don't know. Perhaps. She put her cheek on his chest. Lily is caught up in her own fantasies. She acts before she thinks. Everything depends on her frame of mind when I ask her to rescind the curse. I figure I have a 50-50 chance.
Better than nothing, he added.
Yes, it is. I can hope. He smoothed his hand over her hair to the back of her neck and looked deeply into her eyes.
Have faith.
Halloween fell on a Tuesday this year. Saturday turned into Sunday. Sunday turned into Monday. They were the longest, most tormenting 3 days of her life. Kianso had taken her out and tried to entertain her, but she constantly looked over her shoulder and kept an eye out in case they crossed paths with Lily. Part of her was relieved she didn't see her old friend. Another part wanted to get on with the business of confronting her.
It's not time for us to tip our hand, love.
I know you're right, she responded. At last, Halloween evening arrived. Sasha paced inside the hallowed bean. She wore a Cleopatra costume. She'd chosen it because of the Egyptian ruler's fondness for leopards. Kianzo dressed as Mark Antony. They made a handsome couple. Everyone in the streets tonight would be dressed for Halloween, even the humans. The entire town was charmed by the biggest party she'd ever seen. Sasha sipped a steamy caramel macchiato, trying to allow the sweet, creamy drink to melt away her worries. After the sun set, the air had turned quite chilly. She sighed as the warm liquid trickled down her throat. But even the delicious drink did little to calm her. She glanced at the clock on the wall, a thought occurring to her. You haven't talked to Lily, have you? How are you going to get her to the meeting place? He held up his phone. You're relying totally on calling her?
Not exactly. There was a special ticket in her packet to be exchanged tonight by the fountain. I texted her earlier today to remind her of it. He grinned.
Well, put cheese on my taters. She punched his shoulder and then fell into his waiting arms. For a second, I panicked.
I know. He hugged her and kissed the top of her head. It's time. We should be leaving.
She stepped back, straightening. I'm ready. Out on the street, Main had been blocked off from traffic. The businesses were set up for trick-or-treaters, and children toted special Nocturne Falls trick-or-treat bags. Special effects had been set up with black lights and strobe lighting and fog machines. Places like the Hallowed Bean offered spooky sound effects. The vampires and werewolves and different creatures of Nocturne Falls interacted with the spectators, giving them an awesome show. This was Halloween on steroids. Sasha strolled down the street at Kianso's side, marveling at the creativity. They arrived at the fountain early and discovered Lily and James already there. Sasha halted abruptly, her feet scraping on the sidewalk. Lily's head turned. For a moment, Sasha's heart beat in her ears. Then Lily let out a happy squeal and ran, closing the distance between them. Sasha blinked her eyes, not quite believing what seemed to be transpiring. Lily appeared glad to see her. Lily clutched Sasha's hands in hers. I can't believe you're here. I looked for you after. It seemed as if Lily couldn't quite admit what she'd done. Then she held out her hand and ring finger. Look, James just asked me to marry him. Isn't that wonderful? Left somewhat dumbfounded, Sasha peered at the ring on Lily's finger. Yes. Congratulations. That's fabulous. Lily inhaled a gigantic breath and stepped back, glancing around as Pandora, Charisma, Marigold, and Caroline joined the group. Comprehension flitted in her eyes that something was going on. Then her gaze shot to Kianso. What is this? She reached her hand out for James to take and offer her support. He did. Kianso put an arm around Sasha's shoulders. My life has been a mess because of the spell you put on me. I'm sorry, so sorry, Lily said. I tried to find you when I realized what I'd done, but you were gone. A spell cast in anger needs to be set right, Pandora said. We're here to help, Marigold chimed in. I don't know how to undo it, Lily admitted. I did some research, but my resources weren't enough.
Charisma lifted the book she held.
We have the answers, right here.
You just have to be willing to help, Sasha said. Lily stared at them. Her eyes widened, and then they dipped with shame.
I am.
What do you need me to do?
A rush of air escaped Sasha.
This just might work. She felt Kianso squeeze her shoulder.
Gather in closer, people, Pandora ordered. Charisma, the book, please.
Sasha was glad the witches took charge. Pandora waved a wand over the book and spoke the same words she did before.
A remorseful heart, a true love start, beneath a magical moon bears a healing boon.
Sasha tilted her head back, staring at the huge orange moon. A once every 19 years moon, and it was shining on her tonight. Pandora repeated the phrase.
A remorseful heart, a true love's start, beneath a magical moon bears a healing boon.
Nothing seemed to be happening. Her gaze sliced to Kianso. What did that mean? Was he not her true love? Did she not love him? Oh, yes, she did. She captured his face between her hands.
I love you,
she told him in a voice so soft only he could hear. A remorseful heart, a true love's start, beneath a magical moon, bears a healing boon. On the third repetition, Sasha's knees buckled. She blacked out. Kianso caught Sasha before she completely crumpled to the ground. He lifted her, adjusting her weight in his arms.
Sasha, what's happening?
He appealed to Pandora. The hawk spirit guide landed on a lamppost, saying,
It's okay, brother.
Kianso allowed air into his lungs,
relieved his spirit guides were watching over them.
It's the spell leaving her body. She'll be fine, Charisma explained.
Sasha.
He leaned over her, checking her breathing. When her chest rose and fell, he relaxed a fraction. Then he turned and sat on the lip of the fountain so he could better cradle her on his lap.
Sasha, love, wake up.
She blinked open her eyes.
The moon. Isn't that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?
Kianso didn't even glance up.
No, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
She drew hands up around his neck.
What time is it?
8:04.
A smile spread across her face and danced in her eyes.
The spell is broken.
She pulled him down to kiss her.
Come on, gals, our job is done, Pandora said, turning.
And you, Missy, she pointed at Lily. I hope you visit Nocturne Falls another time. We all make mistakes. Just don't let it happen again. She gave a sharp nod.
I'm glad he tricked me into coming.
Lily stepped closer to Kianso and shoved his shoulder.
But next time, just ask.
Kianso sat precariously on the edge of the fountain, supporting Sasha's weight in his arms. Lily's push sent him off kilter. In an effort to keep from falling sideways, he overcompensated and toppled backward into the fountain, still holding Sasha and allowing her to settle on him. She pushed up, laughing, shaking off the water. They all joined in the laughter.
Now that you've had a Nocturne Falls christening, you'll never leave, Pandora said.
That's fine with us, Sasha spoke up. Kianso grinned. He liked the way the word us rolled off her tongue.
Yes, that's fine with us, he repeated,
then kissed several water droplets from her cheek and lips. Rising to his feet, he extended his hand and helped her out of the fountain. He leaned in, saying in her ear,
Let's go home and take a shower.
Where's home?
Sasha asked.
Caroline's place for tonight, he replied.
Pandora stopped walking and looked over her shoulder.
I can help you with that problem.
She handed Kianso her real estate business card.
Stop by my office.
Kianso grasped Sasha's hand and winked.
We definitely will.
This has been The Shaman Charms the Shifter,
A Nocturne Falls Universe Story. Written by Larissa Emerald. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Copyright 2017 by Kristen Painter. Production copyright 2018 by Kristen Painter.